Castlevania's turnaround story continues with many of its soundtracks being released on Spotify. High-quality compositions of classic tracks are now available to be the soundtrack of your days. This is just one piece of media in this week's news. Stay tuned for the rest, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 821 of our show for May 24th of 2020. Happy Memorial Day weekend, by the way, to everybody out there. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joining you here from Studio N7 in lovely Sacramento, California. Sadly, with everything going on in the world, as you guys know, for the last few weeks, I've been by myself here in studio, but I am joined via Discord. That's why you hear some of the shifting noises in the background, because they're getting set up by my co-hosts. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hello, and also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hello. Now, here's the thing. So over the past few weeks that we've been doing this, you've only really been able to hear their voices here as we're on Twitch, whereas we used to all record in the same room. But we've made a few changes because this has ended up being a more long-term thing than we might have thought originally. And I have some good news, everybody. Tonight, ta-da, you can actually see my co-hosts as we are taping live here on Twitch. So hello, Loki. And Dark Soccer's actually on cam. You look great.
Well, it costs a lot of money to look this good. I'm just kidding.
You should just say, duh. How have you been, Dark Soccer? How's your week been?
Oh, gosh. I've been off work all week for my bereavement leave. It's been thought-provoking, quiet, a lot of Animal Crossing, a lot of another thing that arrived last night.
Which we'll get into, yes.
Touch on, yes. It's been very, very touched by Dan, mostly.
And Loki, have you been... sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying that's really it.
Cool. And Loki, how have you been? Things going well for you?
Yeah, it's been fine. I cleaned out the garage today and then playing Minecraft.
Looking at our chat room, because of course we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, right after the Bobby Blackwell show. And you guys in chat seem to really be loving the fact that you can actually see everybody. Pixel Pocket saying, yay, nice to see everyone together again. Pod Culture is saying, Loki is like, shit, I can't sneak away and make bacon anymore. I guess he could if he wanted to. Fifth Dream Today says, I don't think
stop me.
Fifth Dream Today says, I don't think I've seen Jamie talk. I've seen her, I've heard her talk, but not at the same time. So there you go. It's a first.
Well, there you go. I exist. I'm a real person. I'm not an AI.
And Chad, I see that there we get to see a view of Luke's mic. Yes, you get to see it because I'm not using it. So, because it's too short and I can't, it does me no good when it's way down here.
My biggest problem is that I keep looking at the TV to see you guys and not the camera where I'm supposed to be looking. So this is a new, thing for us, obviously. At some point, I'm going to probably use the sidecar so I can have you guys on the iPad down here and then it'll be like I'm looking at you guys. But that will be a future improvement at a later date. Anyway, so let's get into some gaming news. Of course, the folks that are listening on the podcast feed, because of course we love you guys on the podcast feed as well, and it's free and you can listen on all your favorite podcast pushing platforms, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. We're on all those things. And, I know many of you listen there and you're like, nothing's different for me, except some of the audio levels maybe as things are changing with the webcam, but hopefully everything sounds good. We're at a good level and yeah. Let's get into some gaming discussion. It's what you're here for. Let's get into our kickoff topic for tonight. Loki, I don't know if you want to cover this, but we have a birthday in the house.
Yeah, Pac-Man is celebrating 40 years. That's been a long time. One of the biggest arcade games of all time as well. Definitely famous for a lot of reasons. But yeah, it's 40 years old, and to kind of commemorate that as well, they're announcing that, of course, they're doing some sort of Pac-Man live studio, which it'll allow you to play multiplayer and upload custom maps that you can create for Pac-Man. So it's almost like a Pac-Man level editor.
It sounds awesome. I'm so into that. And there's just like Pac-Man, they're kind of like licensing him out left and right, it seems like. I mean, I know we don't get into a lot of that stuff on this show, but I feel like there's like more toys and more like other like Pac-Man related things out there. Like it's the 80s all over again.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I was playing Minecraft this week, so the first thing that you see the advertisement for their marketplace is a little Pac-Man graphic because they have an actual skin pack and like level thing that they've put together for Pac-Man as well.
That's cool. I want to check that out, Minecraft. I bet that's fun. And I'm sure all these people out there are making these fake Minecraft mazes, right? But they're like creepers instead of ghosts. I don't know. Or can you put the ghosts in there? That'd be kind of fun.
Well, it's an add-on pack, so you can basically change the you can change some of the attributes for different things. You can change how they look. You can change how things act. You can do all sorts of fun things with that.
Now, going to our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Fifth Dream today says, Pac-Man Maker sounds amazing. OMG, there was so much Pac-Man merch when it came out. It was like a giant fucking thing. Oh, absolutely. And I don't know how much you guys remember. Like, Loki, I know you're just under 40 years old. Dark Soccer and I, we're in our 40s, but not that far into it. Like, we were toddlers when Pac-Man was brand new. But I know in the early 80s, I mean, probably not right when Pac-Man first came out. It probably took a few years, but I remember being about 4 or 5 years old, so this would have been like 83 or 84, and Pac-Man really was like everywhere in pop culture. Do you have memories of like Pac-Man in the 80s, Dark Soccer? I know I do.
I some of the memories that I have, and we actually still have a little Pac-Man plushie that's got the ghost in his mouth. But I remember I was pretty good on roller skates at playing Pac-Man because my place I would skate at. Oh, let me move this away. It had Frogger and Pac-Man and a couple other games. I remembered being creeped out by the 2600 version, and rightly so, because it's terabad. I really, though, out of all of the Pac-Man games, I got the most excited when Super Pac-Man came out. That was kind of my jam. And I loved the cartoon. I watched the cartoon religiously.
I remember the cartoon as well. Like that was a big, big thing when it was first out.
And there was, that was really, I thought it was kind of weird. And then of course they based Pac-Land kind of off of it. Or the two were based off of each other. I don't remember the exact order.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really all over the place. And then there was of course Pac-Man Fever. Who was that? Was that
yes?
Rick Dees?
Garcia and Bunkner.
I don't know why I thought Rick Dees.
Oh, I'm such a jerk for not knowing the name off the top of my head. Because one of them died like a few years ago. I remember that was on the show. Bunkner and Garcia, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting it in chat. Looking at our chat, I also see
Bunkner and Garcia. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. I see in chat, and this is worth talking about when we talk about Pac-Man, they're talking about the Atari 2600 version of Pac-Man, because that was, you know, there was this whole thing about how, like, the Atari 2600 version of Pac-Man was really, really bad. And, oh, by the way, guys, I have another little trick this week. I've been working hard on this long-distance OLR thing because I got bamboozled. I thought I had the thing. All right. I thought I was so cool and had the window up and ready to go, but I guess it didn't work that way. I was supposed to be able to show the window. Oh, well. Now I want to know why that isn't working. All right. Anyway. We actually have Pac-Man on the Atari 2600, and it was really like, as bad as it was kind of technologically impressive. Bobby Blackwolf is saying some things in chat about it. Pac-Man on Atari played badly, but it was a miracle it worked at all. The coder was a genius. I read a whole deep dive on the Atari 2600 Pac-Man source code. It was pretty much the most complex 2600 game made during the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Claw on chat says Pac-Man.
And in a rush.
Yeah, it was made pretty quick, if I remember right, too. So, yeah. There we go. I'm trying to see why I can't. Now I'm irritated that my other little fancy thing doesn't work right. What is it showing? Oh, it's showing the Twitch window. Let's try this. I'm doing it live. Why not? There we go. How about that? So there's your Pac-Man on the Atari 2600. And it was pretty impressive. It doesn't look right at all. Like, Pac-Man looks funky in this whole thing. And he eats like a wafer instead of the fruit. Like, it doesn't quite work right. But, I mean, again, it's
Catholic Pac-Man doing penance.
It's technologically very impressive.
He's eating communion wafers.
Yeah. So, all right. Apparently that did something to my audio. So I guess I won't be doing that again anytime soon. Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened with that. So, all right. Sorry, guys.
It's magic.
I'm trying some new things tonight. What can I say? All right. Other like memories with Pac-Man, anything. Loki, what about you? I know, you know, again, you're a little younger, but Pac-Man was everywhere when you were a kid, right?
Right. So basically, I don't remember too much. I remember playing the Atari 2600 version as well. I know I had Pac-Man bed sheets.
You had Pac-Man bed sheets?
I did. I do remember those. That's as far as I remember, because we had a ColecoVision with the Atari adapter for it, so you could play the 2600 games on there, and that's how I used to play the pack for the 2600. That's all I knew, and I was like, this is fine. It's Pac-Man. I didn't know that it was jank.
That's true. You know, when I was really young, like, the Atari 2600 version of Pac-Man didn't really bother me because it was still like, ooh, it's like the maze game on my TV. And you kind of knew that all the video games were a little bit messy back in the day.
Yeah, it's like you never, like, I mean, you just think it's different, except for E.T. Of course, E.T. was garbage. And it's like, I love E.T. This game is horrible. I can't get out of this pit.
I remember playing a lot of Kangaroo.
Was Kangaroo a better translation of the arcade game?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, fair enough. So, I mean, where does Pac-Man go from here? So we have Pac-Man Maker is coming out, and does Pac-Man need to show up in any other games? I feel like he's been in everything. He's been in Smash Brothers. The Championship Edition was an amazing
movie. Mario Kart?
In the arcade.
Put me in F-Zero. Arcade,
yeah.
He was in the arcade Mario Kart because that was the whole Namco alliance thing.
Triforce.
Yeah.
And F-Zero, right, Rob?
I don't think Pac-Man
was
in F-Zero.
No, it was only Mario Kart. No. Sorry, I am thinking of Mario Kart. Never mind.
You're thinking of the Mario Kart arcade because it was a very similar hardware to what F-Zero ran on and that whole thing. Fifth Dream Today in chat suggests Pac-Man in Persona 5. Oh, I guess anything's possible, right?
Need the Pac-Man cinematic universe now. The Namco Cinematic Universe.
Let me ask one more question on this topic for our chat room as well as my co-hosts on Pac-Man and all this. And that would be, why do you think of all these 80s games we had? For example, Dark Soccer brought up Kangaroo. It was a pretty great translation. But Kangaroo didn't exactly break through the same way with all the merchandise, with all the songs and everything that Pac-Man did. Why did Pac-Man last in the cultural icon for this long, do you think?
Pac-Man had the novelty of being out before all of those, number one.
Fair.
It was also one of the, keep in mind, for a long time after we had all of our Pong clones, the big thing was the shooter games. Like, that was when Galaxian, you know, was a thing. And then having this new maze game was, well, it was something different and something new. And it spawned how many clones of it? I mean, we had Casey Crazy Chase. We had Mousetrap, which I have on ColecoVision, and honestly, it's more fun. There's all kinds of games. Crazy Auto, you know, was supposed to be an improvement on Pac-Man, and it was such an improvement that it became Ms. Pac-Man. So, I mean, and on top of that, it's a game that practically anyone can get up and just start playing. Kangaroo, as an example, since we were using that one, it had a little bit more complexity to playing it. It required a lot more... Well, a lot different kind of timing. Pac-Man is just, you don't even need to hit a freaking button. You just move the joystick.
I think that's actually a really great point, Jamie, because I think it's that ease of, like, how to explain it and how to jump into it that makes it so easy. And I think a lot of games, before we got to the cell phone game era, and even in the cell phone game era in many ways, things like Tetris, things like Pac-Man, and those really easy to grasp games really caught on because you're right. It's like, it's very intuitive. Oh, I'm this guy and I dodge this guy and I eat these. Like, it's very, very easy. You know what I mean?
That's exactly it.
And then in the cell phone era, I think a lot of cell phone games have done very well because it's just swiping. It's just touching. Wii Sports did very well because it's like you play like it's actually a tennis racket and you swing it like it's a tennis racket. There's no complicated buttons or anything like that. Like, that stuff does go a long way. You know, if you try to teach somebody, I don't want to say a non-gamer because I feel like in this day and age, everybody's a gamer a little bit. But like, if you try to teach somebody who doesn't play a lot of games how to play something on Xbox One or PlayStation 4, it's like, oh my, how many triggers do I have? How do I hold this? Right? Like, it isn't the easiest thing to explain sometimes. I mean, again, I think as we get into different generations and, you know, as Gen X is getting older and all this stuff, it's like we all kind of grew up on games. So I don't think it's quite the same struggle, but it's there a little bit.
Well, and if you take people who go, well, I'm not really a gamer. I was like, do you like playing Pac-Man? Oh, yeah, I was playing it just the other day. Then you're a gamer. Sorry. I hate to break it to you. You're not cool.
Oh, yeah. No. Are you a gamer? Oh, no, not really. Well, do you play Tetris? Yeah. Or do you play Pokemon Go? Yeah. Well, guess what? Those are games.
Bitch, you a gamer.
That's right. Do you play Words with Friends? Guess what? That's a game. Melchan13 in chat says, Pac-Man is simple to learn and it got hard, but a lot of people could progress decently enough to not just get discouraged. I think that's an important point, too, is that, you know, it's pretty easy to clear the first board in Pac-Man. I mean, granted, the dip switches on the arcade machine and things, you know, you could set all these different crazy difficulty levels and things of that sort. So, you know, maybe some machines are harder than others. But it's relatively easy to clear the first board in Pac-Man. It does not get so easy to clear, like, even the second board, I don't know, just... depends on how much you play, and especially like you get in the third, fourth board, and then you start to watch these people that do these crazy, perfect, long runs. It's like the game does get very hard.
It has a pattern, though, and it's like people who've played it. Think. All right, here's another or relation on this one. The dude who won all those games on Press Your Luck, he memorized the pattern. That's what a lot of the gamers that are getting those high scores on Pac-Man are doing, is that they are memorizing the patterns and know when the patterns switch. And it's easy for them because they're just repeating the pattern. They're playing it exactly the same way. Like, another thing, playing that the dragon, doing the dragon fight in Mega Man 2 blindfolded that I used to be able to
do. I was just going to say, patterns are huge in video games. Look at Mega Man. Mega Man is the perfect example. It's Mega Man is patterns, period.
You had, like, almost no real RNG in something like Pac-Man. It was all based on a pattern, based on your movement, and it was predictable because it was early programming, you know? So you followed your path. The ghosts would automatically follow their set path based on where you were. And as long as you knew where you had to be at one time, you knew what was going to happen.
Can we talk about one other thing with Pac-Man 2 that I think you cannot talk about Pac-Man turning 40 and not talk a little bit, at least, about Ms. Pac-Man, the extremely successful sequel, right?
Brought it up.
Pac-Man with a bow in the hair, right? So yeah, you did. I want to dive a little deeper.
There was more than that. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Of course there's more to it than that. You actually had multiple mazes and things of that sort.
More than that.
Well, I was just about to ask why, because I think for some people, Ms. Pac-Man probably caught on even more. And I was going to suggest it was those cutscenes, those very simple little cutscenes you get when you, like every other board, right? Like the chase, it goes to act one, the chase, and they chase each other. Like, that was so cool. And you didn't see that in games. But that was essentially like the first cutscene in a game in a way.
Well, it was originally Crazy Otto.
Right.
Which Crazy Otto was it was supposed to be like a spiritual successor to Pac-Man. I actually attended a panel about Crazy Otto. And they've even recreated the original Crazy Otto based on just viewing the animations. And it actually had much more in the way of animation and you know, graphic, different sprites. It had more sprites in general than I think Ms. Pac-Man had running. But at the very beginning of it, it was an enhancement kit for Pac-Man that was called Crazy Auto. And it was being developed, and there was a big, it was General Computer Corporation that was involved in a lawsuit with Atari because they also did a missile command conversion called Super Missile Attack. And they were banned from doing future conversions without the consent of Atari or Namco. So what they did is that they actually presented their game to Midway, who distributed for Namco in the U.S., and well, at least for Pac-Man. And they were really actually enthusiastic about having it. So they bought the rights to it. They worked with GCC and with Namco to get the game ready for development. They changed a few different things. And of course the cutscenes were already in Crazy Auto. Hmm. And so the all that they did was convert those cutscenes because it had to do with Crazy Auto and his girlfriend or something. And they were going to rename it to Pac-Woman, and then they changed it to Ms. Pac-Man, and then they made her the main character. And originally, this was supposed to be called Super Pac-Man. So,
interesting.
And on top of that, all of those changes happened within 72 hours of production.
I knew that it had started as Crazy Auto. I knew that part, but I didn't realize that they got as far as doing the cutscenes with like Crazy Auto, and they were that far along when they decided to change it and do everything as Ms. Pac-Man. That's pretty cool.
And one of the other things that they did create as Ms. Pac-Man is because more women in general were playing Pac-Man that they could see, at least through all the polling and whatever they did to, you know, gather the data on it. And so that was another factor in changing the lead character to female.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, like, was part of the reason why Ms. Pac-Man was also such a large game was maybe that sense that, I don't want to say it, like, catered towards women, but it definitely, like, empowered women. And if you guys think, like, in this day and age, in the year 2020, women get a lot of crap, like, oh, women don't play games. I mean, I like to think that's less in this day and age, although I am not a woman, so I don't get the brunt of that. But, I mean, in the 80s, it was really like, oh, women don't play video games. But like Ms. Pac-Man kind of was like, but women are the star of video games.
There was one reason why I didn't mind that stereotype, and I'll tell you why. Money.
How so?
You know, like people hustle for pool? Oh, I have a little bit of a habit of hustling in video games.
Oh, this goes back to your reign on Tekken back in the day at the arcades.
No, this was way before my reign on Tekken. Really? I did that just to prove a point. oh no, I would hustle for lunch money.
You'd whoop the boy's ass at Pac-Man for money, lunch money?
No, well, Pac-Man, a few other games. It was like just NES stuff or Game Boy stuff.
I love it.
You know, I Tetris was kind of my big one for that one, but I could also do a rate. We would have like little mini races and things. You know, it didn't last very long because once it got out that, yeah, I could actually play stuff, then that ended. It's like a month.
And I think it's also important to note, if we're talking about Ms. Pac-Man, the Atari 2600 version of Ms. Pac-Man is much better. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Is much better.
Infinitely.
I think it's because they had more space to develop with it. Like, they had an 8-kilobyte cartridge as opposed to a 4-kilobyte cartridge. So the ghost draw was able to work a little better. It actually looked a little, like, Ms. Pac-Man looked a little better. Just overall, it was a better translation. But I don't think as many people played Ms. Pac-Man on Atari 2600. So this may be the first time somebody has seen it.
Actually, about the Atari 2600 version in 1984, it won the Video Game of the Year award.
Oh, wow.
And well, for Atari 2600, and in 83, it tied for the Arcade Awards with Ladybug.
Huh.
So,
interesting.
Just saying. People were playing it. People were significantly playing it. I would just see people when I was, you know, again, I was really young, but I was a little older than you, and I would see people crowding around it the arcade Aladdin's Castle back in the day. Mm-hmm. Was my arcade with its carpeted ass walls. I have gotten carpet burn on my arm from running into those walls. Just saying.
I remember playing Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man, especially Ms. Pac-Man on the cocktail machine at the yogurt shop. I remember that totally because they had that machine forever. But like a little more of my arcade memory, like I actually remember playing things like the Star Wars cabinet that you actually would get inside. There was that. That was a badass machine. The Star Wars one, Crystal Castles, was an early favorite of mine too. Yeah. So, but obviously there was plenty of Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man because those machines were everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. All right. One other thing, because I love this comment from chat, because I want to bring this up too, and then we got to move on and talk about our gaming weeks. But VidPowers573 in chat says, Pac-Man's original name was indeed Puck-Man, but they realized most kids would probably change the P to an F. Yeah, I'm sure many of you have heard that before. Yeah,
I know we all saw Scott Pilgrim too.
Yeah, so the whole fuck-man, right? It's kind of interesting how that did change. So it is a little different here in the States than it is in Japan. But of course, in Japan, I would say Space Invaders was more that arcade game that really, really broke through. Not to say it wasn't a big deal here. It was. But I feel like Pac-Man was everywhere here. Space Invaders was everywhere there. So anyway.
I don't know, because...
Well, again, not to say like the other wasn't there at all, but I just feel like, you know, we had the cartoon, we had the board game, we had like all this stuff with Pac-Man. I'm not even sure they really had in Japan, whereas like Space Invaders was so freaking popular, it was everywhere. Weren't they like running low on coins because they were going into Space Invaders machine? It was just kind of like a different like cultural thing, I think.
I want to say it was... they had to mint like more... more yen, I think, more yen coins because of it. But I want to say, I don't know if it was Space Invaders. It might have been Space Invaders that did it. I'd have to look up my trivia again.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, let's get into a little more current gaming. Happy birthday, Pac-Man. But let's talk about some more current video games that we have been playing as we talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. So, Dark Soccer, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
It was mostly Animal Crossing all up until a certain thing arrived on our doorstep on yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And what's that?
TurboGrafx-16 Mini.
Woohoo! So, yeah, everybody started getting those this weekend. Mine came in on Friday, and then yours came in Saturday, right? And then I know Bobby Blackwolf got his one of those days, too, because he was doing a stream. So I feel like a lot of those who like pre-ordered that started getting them this weekend. So the shipping date kind of changed a little bit on that. But that's good.
Yeah.
Well,
needless to say, Dan has been playing the Super Graphics version of Ghosts and Goblins. Like, I woke up and he was still playing it, and he actually did the full cycle of it with a little assistance. But he was working up a storm playing it. Anyway, though, we also did get in a little bit of East just to listen to the music, you know, because the intro to East was so beautiful. And it's not Wise, it's East. Anyway, she says, Dan, Ghosts and Goblins, no. Anyway, we also got a little bit in of Lords of Thunder, and I'm trying to think what else, because Star Parodia, which makes me ridiculously happy that game is on there because I freaking love Star Parodia. Star Soldier is on there too. Trying to think what else we touched on.
I was going to ask because, you know, I didn't really ever import games until I discovered Dance Dance Revolution and met you guys and, you know, kind of got like introduced to like, oh, yes, you can buy games from Japan over here. It's just very expensive and all this. But you were the one that really introduced me to because, you know, the TurboGrafx, it was out here, but obviously it was the PC Engine in Japan, and you know, it's just very different. Like it had all this different stuff and different games and all that. And I got introduced to what? There's a whole Castlevania game that never came out here. That's on. You know, that was all because of you.
Rondo of Blood is on there.
Yeah, so I found out about a lot of these games because of our friendship, and so I know you've been a Turbo, you know, fan for years. Is there anything on this device that you didn't own before that it's like, woohoo, I get to play this finally?
Yeah, there's some things that we didn't own a couple of times because they would have been too language intensive. Some definitely prohibitively expensive. We have some, I'm not going to say my source, but like Sapphire mean, there you go right there. There was some of the arcade card games, you know, we can't play, although we own them. But we, and then getting a Super Graphics, that's damn near, oh my gosh, it would have been way expensive to have that. That's what Ghouls and Ghosts was on. And it's beautiful, and the music's a little bit off. And the timing is kind of weird on the machine. And I remember what else we said we played was Twinbee, but it was more like a kind of a weak little version of Twinbee. But if you go to Salamander and you tap on it 3 times, it'll do Twinbee for you.
That's cool.
Which, of course, Salamander, I mean, there's another fantastic game that we don't have on Turbo. Trying to think. There was Keith Courage, which we've got that. Everyone has that.
That was a packing game in the U.S., wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
But Blazing Lasers by itself is just an amazing game.
Well, so as somebody who's followed, you know, Turbo, PC Engine, all this for so long, how do you like the device? Like, is it worthy?
Oh yeah, it's great. It's really good for people who, I mean, because trying to get your hands on a Turbo Graphics now isn't super easy. Getting your hands on the Duo is even harder, and then. Just trying to think what else would be. Super Graphics, like I said, would be damn near impossible. It only came out in Japan. I do have a friend who has Duo LT, the PC Engine Duo LT. It's like the laptop version of it. The same friend also left one of his in a movie theater. And we all know who this person is. I'm not going to say his name online. I'll tell you afterwards. But we all know him.
Okay.
At any rate, PC Engine's actually, I think that like a PC Engine core is actually a little easier to get your hands on than a TurboGrafx.
Huh.
One of the things though is that what really goes for bucks, depending on, you know, which one you've got, are going to be those conversion cartridges. Like everyone wants the purple one. The purple one has the best the best support for multiple games. And it was the converter to have if you wanted to say, if you only had a US Turbo Duo, but you had Super CD games. Like, for instance, we have Fatal Fury and we have Strider, but they are Super CD only and require the arcade card to play. The Turbo Duo in the US had built into it the first two arcade cards, but you needed not arcade cards, but just the two extra cards that came with them, and the final one was the arcade card that you need for your Super CD games. So of course we could play all a bunch of Japanese games on our US Duo, but we couldn't play our Super CD games. So arcade cards still go for bucks. There was that PC Engine emulator, but you have to Magic Engine, but you have to pay for it. I'm going way off topic, but just to say that the TurboGrafx stuff is going to be a little bit harder to find. Mm-hmm. I will tell people, though, you can probably get a Duo RX, which is one of the re-released PC Engine Duos as a whole set, about $200, $250. Mm. So not too prohibitive.
But this is a like pretty cost effective way to get your foot in the door with TurboGrafx, because like, yeah. I remember like my friend had one growing up, so I remember playing it at his house. I never had one, but there's so many of these games I feel like I missed out on, so like I feel like me owning this is kind of part to catch up on like this little tiny little era of gaming that I just like missed completely, and so that's why
it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, so like for the $100 as opposed to all these, you know, collectors and things, yeah, I feel like it's a steal.
What are they gonna do when they hack them?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, right? Because obviously, like, the idiot question that's about to fall out of my mouth is, you think they're going to hack them? That's an idiot question.
They're going to hack them.
Of course, I know, I'm saying, it's an idiot question. Of course, the hacker's going to hack, right? So it's just a matter of time. You're right. I don't know. I don't know what I'll do when they hack them. I guess I'll be curious.
I can introduce you to one of our most quoted games, misquoted games, is Psychic Storm, uh-huh. Where whenever they power up, they say Psychic Storm, but it used to sound like, I get pissed off! And so we would just say that anytime we power up, I get pissed off. But it's got Sapphire. I mean, having Sapphire on there is reason enough. That game is like, you know, I'm going to look it up and see how much it is while y'all chat about it, because Sapphire ain't cheap.
Well,
I think I've covered it for Classic Game.
I was going to say, I don't know if there's a lot left. Because Loki, you didn't buy one of these yet, right?
No, I did not.
And I did buy one, but I haven't played it yet. And I'll talk about why. But it's like on my list of things to do tomorrow, with tomorrow being a holiday where we can't really go out and have a barbecue or anything. It's on my list of things to do tomorrow. So,
this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
One seller on eBay has it for $94. Another one has it for $1,500.
Oh, my God.
Another one, $1,530.
Wow. No.
Okay, that's a 501 EverDrive. We've got an EverDrive. The arcade card, like I was talking about, Rob,
mm-hmm.
Play Asia sells theirs for $400.
Wow. No, thank
you. That's the arcade card Pro. The arcade card Duo is $110. And just this one copy of Sapphire out of the box is going for $1,200. It is ridiculous.
Let me get this question in chat here, or comment. Phoenix7726 says, I wonder if the same sort of thing will happen with Xbox 360s in 20 years. You know, that's a great question. It's very easy to kind of say like, oh, yeah, there'll probably be mini Xbox 360s and so forth. And especially with that particular device, you see more and more of an inch towards these subscription platforms, right? Where you're going to pay a subscription fee and, you know, Xbox Game Pass, right? And you get a lot of the games through that. Heck, even Nintendo is doing something like that now. I mean, yes, they released the Nintendo Mini and the Super Nintendo Mini, but they have their subscription, Nintendo Online. You get those libraries as well. So I almost wonder if you're going to see more of the contemporary games end up being on these subscription services. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there would end up being a market for something like an Xbox 360 Mini. But we've gotten about as far as the PlayStation, because there was a PlayStation Mini, for better or for worse, but it existed, right? So it's hard to say.
I agree with Pod Culture. I want a Dreamcast Mini.
Heck yes to that. I'd be all about that.
I can totally see them double dipping, though, because, I mean, they did that already with the Nintendo Online with Super Nintendo games and stuff. I believe that's pretty much all the games that were on those two standalone, you know, mini devices.
There are some slight differences with third parties, but yes, for the most part.
Well, to also piggyback on what SSJ100 Matt says, he says, I kind of want a Saturn Mini as well. I would want a Saturn if it had a lot more of the games that came out in Japan on it. Like the great fighting games, like the X-Men versus, and, you know, all of those series, they were so good. Or their KOF games, the KOF games on Saturn were top notch. There is no pain like playing a KOF game on a Neo Geo CD. It has loading time out the ass.
I want to say that is one thing I do want to give massive kudos to Konami and, you know, the Turbo. Look at me. I'm giving kudos to Konami on this show, but it's where it's deserved, because I think this device is well done. And I think where the kudos is really deserved is the fact that, you know, it's very agnostic on the regions. You can flip to Japanese and you can play Japanese games, including things like Snatcher, which you're really not going to be able to play unless you understand Japanese, without an FAQ or a walkthrough or something. But I love that option is there.
It does have different games, though, than in Japan, the PC Engine version.
True. But the fact that, like, the Japanese games are still even there in an American release is pretty awesome. No. I love that.
I would really like a PC Engine Mini. Just, I mean, I, and the reason why I wasn't all hyper about getting one is because I'm not super hyper on Tokimeki Memorial.
Mm.
And I know that that's one of the games, and although Tokimeki had another hidden game that you could access. But man, Snatcher, oh my gosh. And you know, though, when they start doing the hacks and stuff on it, that the ROM hacked Snatcher is going to be out. Because there's a full translation of Snatcher out there.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably because I was going to say, like, it is my one. If I wanted to be that gamer that asks for everything, which most gamers do, I would say, like, hey, man, why didn't they just go back and translate Snatcher as if there's infinite amount of resources? But I'm setting my expectations reasonably, and I'm recognizing that, hey, it's cool that we got even what we got. But you're right. ROM hackers have already kind of taken care of that. Now, obviously, Konami can't release that in any official capacity. I guess they could, but it would get into dicey territory. But you're right.
They have to pay the translators.
Hackers will have to take care of that. So it'll be interesting. Yeah. You're right. So,
But anyway, we've had, and I'll go over something else too. It does have some differences from the PC Engine release, because the controllers in PC Engine, it didn't have those turbo buttons on it. The US one does, because the TurboGrafx came out with them on it. And it does have two ports, even though it only comes with one controller. So no turbo tap is needed unless y'all is going to play some Bomberman.
I don't know if you played around with this mode, Jamie, but Bobby Blackwolf in chat is asking, so how long will you play games in the last display setting of the Turbo Engine handheld? Is that super duper hard mode? So I don't know if you've gone into the display settings, but the last one in there is like playing it on a turbo.
I won't do it.
It's really nauseating to look at.
I freaking have a Turbo Express.
You can get your headaches there.
Oh, Dan said something from the other room, but I couldn't hear what he said.
All right. Well, anything else with your gaming week, Darkstalker, before we move on to Loki?
Nah.
All right. So, Loki, how was your gaming week? And I'm going to change this camera thing on the fly. Sorry, guys. It's new stuff tonight. But I'm going to make my co-host a little bigger while Loki talks about his gaming week.
All right, so this week I mainly played Orna, so I'm up to 175 now. So that was kind of cool. And they have this brand new thing that they added in, which is raid bosses. Raid bosses aren't new, but basically spawnable raid bosses that are appearing for anybody that's in the area. So I had one that unfortunately no one helped to kill, so it took me like a few days to do that. But it gives you a lot of experience, which is kind of cool.
I just did the same thing. So there's one right by me right now. And that thing kicks my ass. I don't know. It's going to take me like a month to kill it.
Yeah. So I've still got two more scrolls, too, that spawn. I'm like, I don't want to spawn another one because it's such a hassle. Like, I don't want to do it. But
when it gets,
I probably will.
When it gets a little easier to hang out in groups, I mean, I guess to some extent you can still like social distance at a park and things like that. It just kind of depends on what you're comfortable with and, you know, how your body is with being susceptible and all that. But an idea had come up to, we could all kind of agree to meet at the same park and spawn all the bosses and then take them down as a group. So that might be a way to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, obviously it'll kind of depend on this whole situation and when that's really safe to do and all that.
Yeah, we can see. So I did that, and then the other thing I did was I restarted the realm that I have. So my kids had already beaten the Ender Dragon and everything in Minecraft and the Wither and all that stuff, and so I decided that I wanted to go ahead and restart the whole thing from scratch because we kind of cheated our way through it a little bit. So now we're playing it legit, and so we just did that, but I do have an add-on that I added in there. So because the snow golems are kind of garbage, so I replaced them with a turret minigun because that's fun. So that's one of the things you can do with Bedrock Minecraft is you can actually edit it with some of the add-ons, and those persist to the other players across other platforms. Like my other son plays on the Switch, and so he can actually use that as well. You're kind of limited what you can do in realms with those add-ons because they limit, like, for example, I wanted to make new crafting recipes to be able to craft some of the things that you can't craft in the game right now that you can only get from chests and stuff. And it won't let me do that without enabling experimental gameplay. And you can't have experimental gameplay on realms right now because I think some systems don't support it. So I didn't do that. At least that's my understanding, at least. So I just didn't bother to do that. But we started out, and it's pretty cool. I built this giant mansion, stayed up pretty late last night doing that. They finally went to the Nether today. But it's been fun. Kids are having a good time.
Good. All right. Is that it for your gaming week?
I think that's it. Yeah, haven't played anything else.
All right, then I'll talk about my gaming week. So for my gaming week, was a lot of the same old stuff. Still playing Final Fantasy 14 with friends and getting ready for Phantasy Star Online 2 on PC. I'm really excited to play that on PC, so I can kind of do that on my. You know, I just like playing with keyboard and mouse and all that. So really excited to go through that again. Although, I don't know, PSO might be better with controller, but I can still do that on the PC. And, it, you know, then Discord will be right there, and I'm in my zone. I'm in my setup. I think it'll be really, really good to have. So that's coming up this coming week. I did not get around to playing the TurboGrafx Mini because, so y'all remember last summer I was talking about the Survivor LARP, and I've talked about it a couple times since then. I'm not playing again, but I'm helping to host this current version that they're doing right now. They're on like their 11th season. So the one I won was the 9th. They're on their 11th season, and I'm helping to host it. And so this weekend they did a challenge that I designed. And so it was the like first challenge that I designed for the game, and they did it. And if you want like a little peek at what it looked like, now that I have this fancy little Safari button, I can hit that. So like they had to do these little puzzles that they put together. And it may look pretty easy, but it's, you know, it took them a little time. I would say there's a few of these. This isn't the only one. So it leads them to these different like URLs and things like that. And there's like four of them all together, and it took them about like 35, 40 minutes. So my point is, I'm a game designer now. So how about that, Loki? I had people play my game.
Rob, you get the pizza.
Congrats.
It's a little different. It's kind of it's almost the equivalent of when you would draw the RPG on graph paper. How many of you guys did this on your lunch break in elementary school? You drew the RPG on graph paper and like all that stuff. It's kind of the equivalent of that. But hey, a game is a game. I'll take it. And it seemed to be well received, so I was happy with that. So that's why I didn't get around to the TurboGrafx, because that I was cramming and finishing last night, and then they all played it this morning. So I was very busy watching all that. I did get to play a little bit of Pokemon Go Community Day. I caught 7 shinies without really trying. Alan and I just went to the local park. You know, there was a couple other people walking around, but it didn't look like the freaking like boardwalk on the, what was that, Ocean City or whatever. No, the park was very low key. So we were there, walked around. I just used my little Pokeball to catch while walking, and I was playing a little Ingress as well. And I caught 7 shinies without really trying. So that felt really good. So yeah, Pokemon Go, that was fun. I wish it was a better Pokemon. But I guess they're pretty, it's nice to have at least the 3, and I guess it is pretty good for PvP, I hear. And I caught a couple that were 3 stars, so that's nice, that's good. And then, yeah, otherwise, like, between Orna and other stuff, that's pretty much how my gaming week went. So, again, looking forward to next week, because there's some new releases I'm looking forward to trying, like PSO.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, yep. All right. So, with that, let's move on to some gaming news. Real quick, though, a little bit of housekeeping. I do want to mention a couple things here. Number one, I mentioned this last week, but I'll mention it again tonight. The Southern Fried Game Room Expo, which is it's out in the Atlanta area, and so we don't usually get to attend because I usually go to Atlanta for Dragon Con. But they had to cancel this year, or they did cancel, obviously, with everything going on in the world, except they didn't do for Georgia's kind of taking the situation a little differently right now, and so they didn't have force majeure when they canceled, so they are taking a little bit of a financial hit on this whole thing. So if you want to show Southern Fried Game Room Expo a little love, I would encourage you to go visit their website. They have some merchandise there, which, Loki, you actually bought a shirt, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so you actually bought a shirt on there. The shirts are pretty badass with the power glove and everything. So it did look really cool. And that's just to help make sure it'll happen next year.
The one I looked at was the black and yellowish green one. But then I was like, maybe I should have gotten blue and pink. I don't know. But that's what I ended up getting.
Yeah. And then one other housekeeping thing I wanted to mention, we just talked about this on Bobby's show, so those that are listening live are going to hear this twice, sorry, but I just wanted it for the benefit of the podcast listeners and just put a little love out there. We did announce earlier today that Girls Gone WoW has left the Voice of Geeks Network as they are signing up with Warcraft Radio, which is relaunching. I think it's an older radio network that's kind of coming back because of Twitch, and so they are going to be streaming and broadcasting with other Warcraft podcasters characters, and you know, it's absolutely no hard feelings. Love those girls over there. I shouldn't say girl. I know their show is called Girls Gone Wow, but they're women. Love those women over at Girls Gone Wow, and thank you for many, many years here at the Voice Geeks Network, and really, really wishing you guys nothing but the best in the future, and hoping that I'm getting together with all the other Warcraft folks means great things when it comes to like BlizzCon and getting to interview people at Blizzard and all that good stuff. So we're all still friends, just, you know, on different networks now. So it's all good. I just want to wish them the best and thank them for the years that they spent on the Voice Geeks Network. So on a somewhat related note, I suppose, the Voice Geeks Network is looking for more podcasts and broadcasts. I know a lot of people might be using this whole quarantine and weird world times to be getting into that sort of hobby. So if you have like a geeky related show, and it can even be about gaming or what have you, we are looking to recruit more dedicated people for the network. So reach out. We're very easy to find on Twitter. I'm at Mr. Rob Roberts, or of course you can always email me rob@vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com. Or look at the website. We're very easy to find there. Definitely looking to recruit some more shows because obviously Girls Gone Wow, I just talked about with them, but we have a lot of other shows that have just pod faded over the past couple of years. We have a lot of shows that just for various reasons, they're just not recording anymore. These things happen. Believe it or not, shows going over 10 years doesn't happen a lot. So we've been very fortunate to still have, you know, Bobby and British Invaders. I know Pod Culture is still taping here and there, Anime Jam Session, us. So we do still have a few shows that have been going a very long time, but unfortunately some of the other shows have pod faded for various reasons. So if you're interested, please don't hesitate to reach out. All right, let's get into some gaming news. Loki, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so this is kind of funny. So we've talked about G2A for a while. They're the kind of gray market seller of Steam keys and I think other keys as well. So they've always been adamant that they don't sell stolen keys on their site. And they are so confident that that was the case that they even offered up that, hey, if you're an independent developer and you find proof that our keys or the keys that we're selling for your games are stolen, we will refund you 10 times the amount of those purchases. Well, that leads us to their blog post that they put up called Keeping Our Promise, basically saying that they found that 321 keys of, I believe it was, Factorio, and they found that those were sold illegitimately as well. So they're now paying them $39,600, which is 10 times the value of any bank-initiated refund costs that Factorio paid in relation to each of the 198 illegitimate keys sold via its marketplace. So it's kind of funny because that basically catches them saying, no, we don't sell those keys, except that we do sell illegal keys. And of course they're trying to spin it as basically saying that, oh well, we were duped, basically saying that, well, we launched this offer, we wanted to send a clear message to the gaming community that fraud hurts all parties. As we spell out in this blog, fraud directly hurts individuals who buy illegitimate keys, it hurts game developers, and it ultimately hurts G2A because we are forced as a transaction facilitator to cover the costs related to the sale. Except I think they're well aware of what goes on their site, and this is probably just a small price for them to pay to do their business, and they probably make way more money from this. But it's just basically them admitting to what everybody's been saying that they've done for a long time, and that's kind of funny.
They're only sorry they got caught.
I feel like that whole congrats, you played yourself meme is very appropriate here, if nothing else.
Right, yeah, pretty much.
So how is this company kind of still in business, even though they got caught? I mean, I know they're kind of talking their way out of it, and I don't know. There's that part of me that wants to go, maybe they're not all bad after all. Maybe there is some lit, but it's just hard when time and time again you see them kind of tripping and falling down the stairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's ridiculous. So... Just don't buy through G2A. I mean, even some of the developers have come out and said, hey, we'd rather you pirate our game than buy through G2A. So, I mean, that's saying a lot. Because really, when you think about it, because if you're buying these keys and then there's, you know, someone's doing a, you know, credit card reversal on them, and the developer's actually losing money aside from getting no money whatsoever. They're losing additional money.
So no, I totally get it. When somebody pirates the game, which I don't endorse piracy on this show, but when somebody pirates the game, they're getting something stolen from them. When somebody buys from one of these shady key seller resites, they're getting something stolen from them, and someone else is getting money. It's like double bad. It makes a really bad thing even worse. But yeah, oof. All right. Well, let's move on to things that should be a little bit happier news and talk a little bit about the Olympics. So the Olympics in 2020, of course, they've been postponed. They're not going to be happening this year. The 2020 Olympics will be happening in 2021. We all know it's crazy times right now and things are going to be happening a little bit differently. But
we'll see about that.
Well, who knows if this thing keeps going to 2021, who knows? But anyway, as of now, that's how things are. But for 2020 this year, there's going to be a team up happening for a special virtual event. So Xbox and Special Olympics are going to be teaming up for a virtual event. Now, of course, we always kind of talk about the Olympics, but of course, the Special Olympics also happen in the same host city in the same year that the Olympics do. So Tokyo is also going to be hosting the Special Olympics, but obviously that has all shifted as well to 2021. So anyhow, Forza Motorsport 7, which of course is Microsoft's title, is going to be getting a special event on May 30th from 35 athletes representing 11 countries for some competition. And this is also interesting. They're going to do the awards ceremony in Minecraft, which is another Microsoft product at this point. So it's kind of interesting how that's all coming together, which, you know, we've heard Minecraft be used for a lot of virtual things, but I don't think we've ever put the name The Olympics behind it. And that's, I think there's a lot of people out there that have been wondering, are video games ever going to become an Olympic sport? Well, that's not what's happening here, but the fact that, and it's not the first time the Olympics has had an event around video games either, but the fact that it's going to be happening, and it's one of the only 2020 Olympic events that's going to happen in 2020, I think is what kind of makes this notable, because video games have also been bridging the gap of, you know, missing sports right now, right? We've talked plenty on previous episodes about these virtual events for charity or the simulators being used in racing events and so forth. So pretty cool. So anyway, you can check out the live stream at 3:00 Eastern, or that would be noon. And again, that is on May 30th. So that's coming up in the next couple days. And the whole thing is also going to be, you can get more information how to volunteer with the Special Olympics and actually taking donations through the Microsoft Rewards program. So if you're racking up rewards points from either like using Bing or using Game Pass, you get a lot of points through that too if you've never looked. Like, look at that Microsoft Rewards app. Because if you collect like 1,000 points, which isn't that hard to do, that's like $1 you can donate to Special Olympics, and then Microsoft actually matches that. So that's pretty cool. So you might have been wondering, like, why the Special Olympics? Because this whole thing is to help raise money, bring attention, and so all that good stuff. And yeah, I think that sounds awesome. What do you guys think about this kind of team-up event in lieu of an actual Olympics?
It's neat, but, like, I don't use Bing.
No one uses Bing.
No, a lot of people use Bing. Bing's good for one thing. But yeah, I don't use it normally for internet searches.
Wait. But what's the thing it's good for?
It is incredibly great, from what I hear, for searching for pornography.
I was hoping that would be the answer. Thank you.
I'm not sure why, but that's apparently what it's
really desperate
about.
People are using.
I legit didn't know. You know what else is great for searching for pornography? Pornhub. So I legit did not know that Bing was like a thing that people search for porn on. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if they do like video searches or what the case may be, but I just don't touch Bing at all because it's Bing and it's garbage. Yeah. And no thanks.
No, yeah. If I'm going to use anything other than I'd say a Google search, you know, as search engines go, it's probably going to be DuckDuckGo.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I guess you can search for porn on Bing and Google won't track it. Well, what about an incognito window? Or is that all like tinfoil-y, it's a lie and Google's tracking you anyway?
You can, it's supposed to be completely private.
Anyway, Bonds 006 says, why not go back to Ask Jeeves?
Oh God, Fifth Dream brought up Hotbot.
Jeeves.
That was the thing to use for a while.
Jeeves, how big them titties? I can't believe people use search engines for that. It just seems like you'd see the same thing. All right, forget it. We're not having this discussion on this show, although we just did. Let's move on. Darkstalker, bring a little class and dignity to this show with your next article, please.
Class? Are you serious? Wait,
try.
I am a classy bitch.
Try.
I am that bitch.
I got to stress. I mean, you always look great, but you are especially well lit tonight. Your face is beat for the gods.
Can you see I have a ring light on? And I am not that. I put on a bare minimum just because I didn't want to look like, you know, a corpse with as pale as I am. But I do have my ring light. I got it working. It's right there.
You're lighting. Wow, chef's kiss. You look fantastic.
And I mean, my crew behind me.
Again, I want to stress, you always look good, but I know you have not always been the most, like, camera, you know, loving person. But, like,
no.
you went all out tonight. You look great.
Well,
if only your webcam wasn't a potato, but that's okay.
Okay, my webcam. Okay,
baby
I got
steps,
it on
baby
Witch
steps.
Out of desperation.
I understand. I understand.
But not. I'm not ready to drop that 150 on the Logitech one I want yet. Not yet.
A lot of people who use Bing buy on Wish out of desperation.
No, some Wish has had good cosplay stuff. And I bought the webcam when I was getting the stuff together for Easter in Dolores Park for, you know, sister stuff. I've got all of this, like, feathery crap behind me that was going to be part of my look. It's going to go all Raven-like.
And Bobby has a great point in chat saying webcams are hard to find right now anyway with everyone working from home. Yeah, a lot of computer parts got crazy harder to find in this day and age.
I could switch to my Mac. The only reason the stuff's in front of my Mac was just to have a little bit more background stuff.
No, you're fine. You don't know
it. Has a great cam on it.
You don't owe anyone an explanation.
But it's funny. I got it on Wish. Fucking
right.
Hilarious.
All right. Anyway, story.
All right. So for peeps like us who have the Twitch Primes, we're getting 20 SNK games for free. Oh. I think it's actually some of the same ones that were in that Humble Bundle a while back. But starting on May 26th, which for us is in 2 days, so that's going to be Tuesday, you get games like King of Fighters 2002, Samurai Showdown 2, just a bunch of others. So, the list, some of them on the list is Blazing Star, which I fucking love Blazing Star. Oh, my God. Last Blade 2, Garou, Mark of the Wolves. There's a Polestar, again, that was a prequel to Blazing Star. Sengoku 3, King of the Monsters, Metal Slug 2, King of Fighters 98 Ultimate Match Final Edition. Oh, those names. Those are going to be some good things to have on that group. So I would definitely, if you've got the Prime, get it good.
And if you have Prime, drop that sub at VOG Network. I got to put a cheap plug in there somewhere. Please.
Do the thing. Give us the subby subs.
Appreciate those of you that do.
But other loot that's going to be involved in Twitch Prime. There's a few things right now, but there's going to be some giveaways, like in-game. Like, there's one for, like, I think a skin for Doom Eternal right now. There's just a few other things in there. So if you've got the Twitch Prime, then dig in and see what you can find. You might find a treat.
I do want to say, and you kind of mentioned this, is like, you know, we've seen these SNK games other places before. I think Twitch actually gave some of these away before, because I know Fatal Fury Special, I know I picked that up in a Twitch giveaway at one point, because that's my favorite Fatal Fury game, is Fatal Fury Special, and it was on Twitch Prime at some point, because it's already on my computer, and I didn't pay for it. It was free. So I guess it could have been a Humble Bundle, but I'm almost positive it was a Twitch giveaway. But it is... You know, hey, not everybody got it the first time. There's definitely some stuff here now that wasn't there before, so it's cool that they're giving away a lot.
Maybe I'll have to stream how much I suck at Blazing Star now.
Why not? Good times. All right.
But I love Samurai Showdown 2. That's one that Dan and I actually have on Neo Geo. Mm. We imported it, so it's Samurai Spirits 2, but if you switch the language options in the game, if you put it to English, the blood turns sweat.
Oh, how funny.
And back to Japanese, you know, so you actually have both language modes on each of those cartridges, and I'm wondering if these iterations of the game are going to do the same.
Huh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. All right. Well, let's move on. Next story, Loki.
Yeah, so there's this project that's going on called Insignia that's looking to bring back Xbox Live for the original Xbox. So you may think, well, wait a second, don't they already have something like that where you can play online with the Xbox? Well, technically, yes, with tunneling with System Link. So they have that X-Link's Kai, but this is actually looking to enable Xbox Live using a third party. I can only imagine that's going to cause some issues at some point when Microsoft, you know, catches notice of it. But apparently they have some proof of concept stuff that they're showing right now where they go and actually create an Xbox Live account, or at least go through all the screens to do so using this service. And it's going to be neat if they actually get it going to basically allow folks to be able to play those games before that had Xbox Live multiplayer, but now they haven't been able to with System Link, so... I will be interested to see if it happens, but I'm more on the fence saying that it's probably going to get shut down before they ever get to that point. Apparently, they're going to do it also without console modding as well. Apparently, all you need to do is just actually dump your keys for your console using some soft mod process, and then you're good to go. And they're even looking to enable all the voice chat messaging and all that stuff. So... be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be long for Microsoft not wanting to shut it down either. I mean, I don't know. There's a part of me that's like, but, you know, to be able to preserve the functionality of the original console for historical type of reasons and so forth, it's something they ought to consider just backing off on. Like, is it really going to cut into their current business? I don't think so. But at the same time, Microsoft has made a very big deal about this whole, you know, oh, well, it's going to play everything. You know, so even on Xbox Series X, you'll be able to play original Xbox games, and you know Xbox Live will work because it's using your Series X to do it. But, and this is an important but, it is a limited selection of Xbox games. Not every Xbox game works. You know, you guys know we're big fans of Dance Dance Revolution and the music games that we all met playing. Those games to this day don't work. And I truly think, and I will die on this hill, damn it. I think DDR Ultramix 2 on the original Xbox is the best home version of DDR they ever made. And you can't play it on backwards compatibility right now. Now, it would be kind of, you know, it would be a little weird anyway because you couldn't exactly use a dance mat with it. But, I mean, if you can play DDR on the web right now, why can't I at least button Revolution? And if Xbox Series X is going to take USB devices... because the Xbox One does, maybe there could be a way to bring dance pads back for those that really wanted to do it.
They could just, I don't know if they could, maybe not even necessarily put out new dance pads, but like say, hey, if you've got one of those older ones, you can use that. And I mean, there's plenty of those floating around out there and use thrift shops and whatnot. Hell, I was digging through the garage today, and I have two brand new Xbox 360 dance mats.
Oh, nice.
I've never been used because I had my own. So I've never bothered to actually use those.
I have a PlayStation 2 one that's never been used. So.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I suppose they could, you know, support it. It's basically just like a.
It's such a niche thing that I understand why it's like, oh, we're just going to like come right out and support it. But it would be really cool if they could at least get it added to the backwards compatibility list so we can at least play it with buttons or not. And I'll tell you, the hardware modifiers will take care of the rest. Somebody will get a dance pad working through USB so you can play DDR with a dance pad again. It might not work where the game recognizes it as such and all of that, but it'll be close enough, darn it, to satisfy, you know, those of us that would like to do that.
Right. I mean, there's plenty of things already that you can plug into your Xbox that emulate, you know, pushing any of the buttons on the controller. So yeah. It makes sense that they would be able to do that pretty easy.
See, and then not only do the original Ultramix games not work on later past the original Xbox, but then Dance Dance Revolution Universe on the Xbox 360 doesn't work on the Xbox One or anything after that. So, like, those DDR games, but yet. Do you know what game is playable on Xbox One that is backwards compatible that does show up?
Is it Beat 'n Groovy?
Beat 'n Groovy is backwards compatible. Give me a fucking break. Now, and we've talked about this before when we talk about Xbox emulation, because remember when they got a lot of shit because like Barbie's Horse Party or whatever was on the emulation list, and it's like, I don't think Microsoft went out of their way to make that one, but it's like when they get a certain engine working or they get a certain type of game working, then that one just gets brought in as well. And I would imagine for Konami, Beat 'n Groovy is probably just running through some type of PlayStation 1 emulator, just like Symphony of the Night. So when they got Symphony of the Night working, well, Beat 'n Groovy, hooray, it works too. So, which, by the way, is the most terrible thing Konami's ever done to music game fans.
You know, I'm surprised that they don't try to put those out again, because you have stuff like, there's like lots of different music games now that are coming out there just specifically using like keys and stuff, like the DJ Max stuff. And I'm surprised that they don't try to put out like popping music or something. I know with a controller it wouldn't be the best thing, but I mean...
Do you know
somebody's going to buy it?
Do you know what I totally forgot to mention during my gaming week? I played DJ Max on PC. I can't remember the subtitle.
How is it?
It's fun to play on a keyboard. Like it's.
I think it's 5. It's the one that's free this weekend.
Yeah, it had a free weekend on Steam, so I checked it out. Like, I don't want to double dip from the PlayStation 4 version, like especially for the amount they're asking for it. But it does have a few songs, like the Porter Robinson song is new. And they have that song from Beat Saber, Pop Stars.
Yeah.
Da-na-na-na-na. Wow. Do-do-do. That song? That... I will sing it all. Thank you. That song is in DJ Max as well. And so I was like, oh, this song again. So, but I think, doesn't that all come from like a League of Legends thing? I think it does. So yes. I think that's why it shows up in like gaming stuff everywhere. But anyway. All right. I left that on my game of the week. But when music games got brought up, there you go. So anyway, we've deviated a bit from the Insignia project. So maybe Microsoft will shut it down, but maybe they won't. We'll see.
I think that they will.
Yeah. All right.
But we'll see.
All right. It won't be as fast as Nintendo. Nintendo would have shut that down yesterday. So there is that. All right. Let's talk about New Game Plus Expo. And one of the biggest companies involved with this is Sega. So what is it? It is going to be a new video game showcase. Obviously, this year, with E3 not happening, you have a lot of people scurrying to do something else. Of course, a lot of that in a virtual environment. And we've heard that, you know, some of the publishers that would usually do these big press conferences, such as Microsoft and Ubisoft, they're planning their own thing. They're going to do their own type of press conference. Well, what about some of the smaller companies? It's weird to me to think of Sega as a smaller company. I don't think they are. But Sega never did a main stage show. You know what I mean? So what happens to these smaller groups that maybe would have booths at E3, but there is no E3 this year? So a lot of these guys have banded together for the New Game Plus Expo. It will be kicking off on the 23rd of June. That's the same day as our anniversary, I'll have you know. OLR started on June 23rd. So Tuesday, June 23rd is the day it will kick off. 14 publishers going to be a part of this digital event. There will be publishers in North America and Japan. It will be an hour-long event on Twitch. That's a lot of publishers for 1 hour. 8 a.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. in BST. Is that British Standard Time? I know that's over there. And then there will be first looks and Q&A sessions. Oh, so they're kind of doing the treehouse thing. They're doing like an hour-long presentation and then deeper dive after that. So who all is involved? Sega, Atlas West is part of that as well. Axis Games, Arc System Works, Inti Creates, Koei Tecmo, Natsume, Playism, Way Forward, SNK, and more. I didn't even name them all, but there's lots of companies that are involved with that. So pretty cool. That's a pretty early hour to be up and watching, but I'll be working anyway, so maybe it'll be that thing where it's like I've got in one monitor over here while I get my work done over here to see if anything kind of catches my eye. So sounds neat. I feel like if Kensha Hall got an expo, this would be the closest thing to that. That's how I feel. All right. Anyway, moving on. Dark Sakura.
So how about some happy, feely-good kind of news, right?
We need it.
Yeah. Well, Guinness has recognized the oldest gaming YouTuber. This is a 90-year-old woman named Mori Hamako. She was born on February 18th, 1930. So that puts into perspective, like, right in the Depression. And she started playing video games about 39 years ago and became interested in it when she saw children playing with it. And she said that it looked so much fun that it wasn't fair that only children could play it. So she started playing when no one was watching. Her first gaming console was called the Cassette Vision. She has kept most of the consoles and software that she bought over the years, and she says they treasure them because it brings her memories. Currently, she likes to play PS4. She's into action games. And her current favorite is Grand Theft Auto V. She says, it's like watching a film. I like it the best because it has age restrictions, so children can't play it. And then she started uploading her gaming videos on YouTube because she wanted to share her experiences with other people. And her quote says, it's such a waste if I'm the only one enjoying it. So she tries to post like 3 to 4 videos a month. And she loves her fans. She says that they're very caring and concerned for her. And that she thinks that playing video games rejuvenates her spirit. And here's the last quote from her. After living for this long, I feel more than ever that playing games for this long was the right choice. I am truly enjoying my life. It's rosy.
I love that.
And so, and she just, the pictures of her, you can just see absolute joy on her face while she's playing. It's so, I'll link the Guinness article in chat.
I've got one of her videos up, but I can only see her fingers playing Days Gone in this video. So I don't actually see her face. That's unfortunate. We're like watching her play, but she's not really there. So
I put a link to her, to the pictures that are, well, to the Guinness article.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
That you can see her just the smile on her face while she's playing in during her interview. It's really cute.
Yeah. Well, and you can see there's a lot of different videos on her channel, and you can see in some of them, you can actually see like, I have big news. And, where she's unboxing her PlayStation 4. This is probably a good one from a few years ago. So
very cool.
There we go. She's very excited to be opening her PlayStation 4. That's awesome.
Yeah. She just, she just looks like she authentically enjoys it. And we need more people who will be happy to play games and play them as they get older. Because mm-hmm. they say that you get older because you stop playing.
I bet it keeps her healthy too. Like, you know, just keeping, I know we always, that was the big thing when we were kids, is that I'm working on my hand-eye coordination, right? And we all know, like, mm-hmm. but there is something to that. Those motor skills and things that might not be tested in older age specifically, I think that kind of does help. I mean, I'm no scientist or doctor, but it would make a lot of sense that, like, keeping those things alert, that's why they had Wii Sports and all the retirement homes, right? It was a big part of that. So, I
and
mean,
the other thing about this too, is just, I would, you know, be a little bit more worried about repetitive motion injury. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, as long as she loves it and has the joy for it, keep doing it. Keep encouraging That's others right. to do it. And I want to be her one day. I want to be a cute old Japanese lady, Rob. I'm kidding.
Well, maybe if you ask very nicely. No. But we might still be doing OLR when we're 90 at this rate.
Wouldn't that be great?
No one will still know about us at that point.
No one will be listening.
Guinness will be like, it's the longest running podcast. And they're like, who?
Yeah, who cares?
Hey, those clowns.
Well, we'll actually wear the clown makeup. So that we'll...
Well, I do that anyway as a sister.
He who is Steve in our chat says about the gamer grandma, that's too sweet. She's seen far scarier things in her 90 years than some zombies, LOL. That's true. Days gone, that's nothing for gamer grandma.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you think about it. Hold on, where in Japan does she live? But I mean, she would have been a teenager, maybe not a teenager, maybe a younger child when Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed, and she would have lived through that.
And that's nothing to joke about, but that's very like, you know, yeah, you're right. Very low points. Yeah.
Just like the kids today are, you know, well, I'd say some of the kids are having to deal with, you know, being young when the World Trade Center was bombed, or kids now living through a pandemic.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I like to, but she was a witness to the history in Japan. So just saying. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, and to see her just finding such joy in this, it just, you know, it makes me think that if there's a moral to be taken out of this, and that moral to me should be to always look for fun and don't let, I'd say, the worst of humanity make you judge all of humanity. Although maybe I'm a little judgmental.
Well, rock on, gamer grandma. You're an inspiration, to be quite honest. So, but we're coming for you. We're going to keep OLR going into our 90s. So just
we're
going to
continue her legacy.
That's right. That's right. All right. Let's
You'll
move
be the
on.
World's oldest podcasters.
Let's move on. Loki, some folks in chat were concerned when they saw this on the sidebar about the private club penguin servers. Kind of like, that can't be good. What's going on, Loki?
It's not.
Spoiler alert, it's not.
It's not. So, yes, apparently people are clamoring to play Club Penguin, even though it's been shut down for a while now. And, of course, now they're coming under fire because Club Penguin, these private servers that are out there, are just full of all sorts of bad things. So, for example... You know, you've got people filling it full of hate speech and sexual content. So foul language. There's people engaging in what they call a penguin e-sex and just all sorts of weird stuff.
A bunch of people. It's a bunch of people with no accountability having no accountability.
Yes, right, exactly. And because that's not on brand with Disney, they have filed DMCA complaints against all of these different things. So they have, Club Penguin rewritten, I guess, is one of those in the complaint. They basically are just saying, hey, you guys don't have the right to run these private servers, so stop it. I would imagine maybe they would have let it go if it was just, you know, family-friendly fun, but because it's just all sorts of dirty filth and garbage, it's got to go.
He who is Steve in chat says, well, that's nothing new. It's been a long-running challenge to see how fast you could get banned from Club Penguin. But on these private servers, people aren't getting banned. And so it's putting – I mean, technically, the trademark for Club Penguin and all of that still does belong to Disney. So if Disney wanted to do a Club Penguin movie or a Disney Plus thing, which I think – didn't I hear that Club Penguin was going to be a Disney Plus thing at some point? Like, they don't want this shit tarnishing their brand. That's a big problem.
Right, exactly, because folks don't know, like, if there is articles about this coming out, they may not know that Disney's not running this. They're just like, well, it's a Disney game, and I'm seeing screenshots of all this, you know, filth. I don't want my kids playing that. Disney, what are you doing? You know, why are you allowing this? So, of course, they have to come after it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's that whole protecting their intellectual property and all that. They have to do that. So, heaven forbid Animal Crossing New Horizons, that server ever goes down. That's, ooh, ooh. I mean, people are already doing seedy things in that game, but I guess there's only so much you can do.
Right.
For now. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about this. I think this is really cool. A Twitch extension coming out for a game, which, Jamie, you've talked about. I really want to play this game. I haven't yet. It's like on my list of I'll get to it eventually. But it's Detroit by Quantic Dream. And Quantic Dream is actually putting out an official Twitch add-on that will allow viewers to influence the key decisions in the game. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that sounds crazy, yeah.
Yeah. It's called Detroit Community Play, and it will allow polls to start automatically in your chat for up to 150 different plot points that are in the game. And so your viewers essentially will vote on what should the streamer do next. So you could let your viewers control the whole game if you wanted to. There's going to be a preview of this. I think it's happening tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow at 11 a.m. And Quantic Dream is going to do an event on their own Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/QuanticDream. And they're going to show this off. They're actually going to have Brian Deschart and Amelia Rose Blair. Those names may not sound...
They're married.
They may not sound like familiar names, but they are Connor and Tracy. They play characters in the game. So they're going to be demonstrating the extension during the opening scene of the game. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
what?
They also cosplay their characters.
I love that. That's like, what's her name that does, oh my gosh, why can't I remember? Samara in Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah.
She cosplays her all the time.
Rana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the rest of her name, but Rana something.
Yeah, and somebody got the guy who is Caden's, like they got him to cosplay as Caden. Even though he doesn't do the voice, he's just the likeness. It's like a model. Yeah. They got him to cosplay as Caden too, so it's pretty fun. And of course, Mark Meers definitely cosplayed as Shepard, but Mark Meer doesn't look like Shepard. But it's always fun to see the people, you know, kind of cosplay their characters, right?
Shepard looks how you want Shepard to look.
That's true too.
Thanks to mods. but no, those two together, they actually both stream, and they streamed Detroit in costume as well. It was pretty amazing. They're just fun to look at on Instagram and Twitter.
You know who else has been streaming a lot on Twitch lately that's been getting a lot of visibility is, and I forget her name, I'm sorry, but she's the gal who voices Aerith in the Final Fantasy VII Remake. And there was a very popular viral clip of her seeing her character and hearing the lines for the first time in the game. Like, because, you know, she doesn't get, like, a special preview or anything. Like, she went in to do a job. She did the acting job. Thank you. Here's your paycheck. Goodbye. You know, I'm not trying to belittle what is a very difficult career, but that's just, you know, you think in your mind, oh, and there's lavish red carpet premieres, and she gets free copies of the game. Well, she might get a free copy of the game, but she doesn't get to necessarily play it before anybody else. So there's actually a clip of her seeing herself, essentially, in the game for the first time, and she kind of cries, and it's very touching. And so that's a very popular clip around Twitter right now, too. And I know she's doing a lot. So pretty cool. All right. Well, let's take a step back to classic times when we weren't streaming games. We weren't running the games online and playing them for other people. We were playing them in the privacy of our own homes for us. And maybe whoever else is on the couch. It's the classic game of the week. And every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking this game out. And Dark Sakura, you picked something this week that, like, I have 30 seconds of video for, literally. And I don't hear you for some reason. Can the listeners hear Dark Sakura?
Okay, there we go. Oh, sorry, I was muted.
That's all right.
No, I thought I had picked, like, a good long play, but I guess not. Maybe I linked the wrong thing.
That's okay. We'll make it work.
Okay. Well, at any rate, the game in question is actually a series that I'm going over because with the advent of the TurboGrafx-16 Mini / PC Engine Mini, there are probably people who are seeing this Super Momotaro Densetsu 2 and like, the fuck is this? I can't read any of this. So I'm going to go over some of the... some of what this series is. So Momotaro Densetsu is a board game style game where you travel by rail or ship or airplane to acquire wealth through business transactions. You buy properties, you deal with rival entrepreneurs and your nemesis, such as the god of poverty. And it's been compared to Monopoly or Sugoroku, which is a game I haven't played, but whatever. at any rate, it was first, the series started in 1988, produced by Hudson Soft. And then the rights are now owned, of course, by Konami after they absorbed Hudson in 2012. But the game is kind of, some people think it's a play on a title for another Hudson game, which is another Momotaro Densetsu. So it's a role-playing game based on the, you know, the from the Tale of the Bamboo Cutter and other Japanese folklore. But that's not what I'm talking about. So the project supervisor for the series is Sakuma Akira. Illustration done by Doi Takayuki, and the music done by Sekiguchi Kazuyuki. It's been super popular in Japan for an age. It has exceeded 12 million units for the series, and for the 20th anniversary of the series, Hudson collaborated with a company called Choshi Electric Railway Line to create a rail train dedicated to Momotaro Densetsu. And the train ran until its third anniversary. And then there are two Momotetsu theater, themed restaurants in Japan at different rail stations, one at Haijima and the other at Kaminagaya. So at any rate, it also, from 2004, it also had some famous Japanese comedians involved in their marketing, Jinai Tomonori and Wakatsuki Chinatsu. So there we go. But sadly, in 2015, the creator of the series, Sakuma, said, I'm announcing here that Momotaro Densetsu is officially done. Ishikawa at Konami squelched everything. However, in 2015, Konami loaned the license to Nintendo for an unspecified amount of money. 7 years, no game, until a game was released exclusive to the Nintendo 3DS. So, and of course, that one on 3DS was a Momotaro Densetsu 2017, Taigari Nippon. There was another one before that called Momotaro Densetsu World. And there's also one this year, Momotaro Densetsu Showa Heisei Reiwa Motaiban. So there we go. There's a bunch of mobile games. There's an iOS game that came out in 2017. But now this is going to wind me back around to the one on TurboGrafx, PC Engine. It was a HuCard game. It is called Super Momotaro Densetsu 2. It is the second of the Super games in the series, and the third game overall. It was first released on Super Famicom. Both Momotaro Densetsu and Super Momotaro Densetsu were Famicom games, but the games were also released on PC Engine, and there's a Game Boy one. And so with this year, again, you're taking turns moving your train around a board to buy properties and trade resources. So you are quite the little business person in this game with a good bit of cuteness and a lot of classic Japanese imagery going on. And of course, trains are very much more popular in Japan, of course, than they are here. It has a big theme in the series. So, but there you go. You can get games. I'll just go through a list of what the series has been on. So it's been on Famicom, PC Engine, Game Boy, Super Famicom, Sega Game Gear, PlayStation, PlayStation 2, GameCube, GBA. There's Game Boy Advance, of course. We've had Xbox 360. That was Momotaro Densetsu 16 Gold. Which is another version of Momotaro Densetsu 16, Moving in Hokkaido. We've had DS versions. We have Wii, PSP, Nintendo DS, 3DS, a Switch, that new one coming out. There's also been several mobile games for iMode. Even one, trying to see what else they're on. Yeah, they're all the Yahoo Keitai, Easy Web, so Japanese mobiles. And then iOS, it was Momotaro Densetsu Japan Plus, which came out for iPhone, iPod Touch in November 27th. So, yeah, classic ongoing series, and one that maybe not a lot of Western gamers are familiar with. So since for all of us who've ordered our TurboGrafx 16 Mini and are seeing, what the hell is this craziness? That's what it is. And I hope your Japanese reading skills are up to par. But I do believe that there are FAQs and translated ROMs out there for those who want to get their hands dirty.
Well, thank you very much for that very timely
pick.
Not any
official localized version, by the way.
Right. It's a underground one, kind of like the Snatcher one.
Thank you for sure.
Thank you for that very timely pick with the TurboGrafx Mini finally making its way to the U.S. this week after a little bit of the delay due to everything else going on in the world. So cool.
Everything else going on. That's great.
There's that visual, all of this, but it doesn't translate well to the podcast.
Hands everywhere. It's crazy.
This. Yes. All right. Okay. Let's move on. We got some more stories. We got some fast stories. Well,
actually, at this point, I will be saying adieu for the evening.
Not a problem. So
I messaged you on it, but you might not have seen it.
Oh, yeah. I have Do Not Disturb on right now because my phone has been blowing up. So sorry if I missed your messages, but yeah.
So I will say bye, everybody.
Bye. It was great to see you.
Kirby, say bye. Cuphead says bye.
All right. Bye. We'll see you again next week.
Look, one more. Vegeta says bye.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
Bye, everybody. Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Don't be stupid. Wear your mask.
All right. Bye, Jamie. Thanks for being here. It was great to see Jamie tonight. So, all right. Awesome. All right. Well, let's get back. We've got some more news to get to. We're going to get into some rapid fire news. So, Loki, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. So, yet another week and yet another con that's been canceled. So, Gen Con 2020, the America's biggest board game show, has been canceled. Why? I guess they just didn't want to run it this time. No, of course it's COVID-19. So
they just didn't feel like it anymore. Yeah.
They just didn't feel like it. Yeah. So unfortunately, no board game con this year.
That is a bummer. I hate hearing about all these cons getting canceled. And I know it's inevitable. It's probably going to happen to Dragon Con 2. And, you know, it's one of those where it's like, well, it makes sense, but it still sucks.
Yeah. So along with that, we've got a delay of something as well. So Kerbal Space Program 2 has been delayed now to fall 2021 because of the unique challenges of developing during COVID-19.
I bet. To put it lightly.
Yes.
All right. Phoenix 7726 in chat says, hell, PAX West might get axed this year. I don't want to sound negative, but honestly, count on it. Like, you know, I would be shocked if it does happen. Obviously, I want to be optimistic. I want to cross my fingers and my toes that we will have a cure and or effective treatment. But prepare for the worst, hope for the best. Because I kind of feel like if you had a fun big convention or concert or mass gathering plan in 2020, it's probably best to look forward to next year instead. Oh, I love the kitty that you get to show off. Oh, Mr. Smush hogging all the attention all this time. Who's this? Who's this precious baby?
This is Stella.
Hi, Stella. Sorry, yes. Podcast folks. You'll just have to imagine a very pretty kitty on cam right now, Stella.
You gonna say anything? No?
Nope.
No.
Stella's shy. All right. Anyhow, oops. And of course, with Dark Sakura having left, we just...
I'm off camera. No.
I know. This is one of those things I'll need to fix in a future week. Sorry, guys. We're doing it live.
Now, no one can see the cat.
I know. Hold on. I'll fix it so we can see the cat again. It's just going to take me a second here.
Just make me full screen or
readjusting.
Something.
Well, I was supposed to be doing some rapid fire stories here, but...
No, it's fine. You just adjust everything in.
We want to see the cat. All right. How about now?
There we go.
I apologize to the podcast folks, but we're just going crazy on the video tonight. All right. Anyhow, let's get into some other rapid fire news. So first off, the various soundtracks for Castlevania games now on Spotify. We're talking games like Aria of Sorrow, Symphony of the Night, This is awesome. So Konami unleashed their collection on Spotify. They announced this on Twitter. There are different playlists that they linked. I think that's really cool. If you want to know the full rundown, we have Symphony of the Night, the original soundtrack, Castlevania Chronicles, Circle of the Moon and Harmony of Dissonance, Lament of Innocence, Curse of Darkness, Aria of Sorrow, Portrait of Ruin, the Dracula X Chronicles, Order of Ecclesia, Castlevania Judgment, Castlevania Harmony of Despair. How dare they leave out Castlevania 64? How could they? Just kidding. All right.
Well, we just all like to forget that exists. Along with the Wii fighting game that they had.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. I wish I could stay forgetting about that. All right. The Epic Game Store is giving away Civilization VI. If you are not already aware, you should really get on that. Unless you're like morally opposed to the Epic Game Store, which I understand. People have their reservations. But if you are like Epic Games or you're playing Fortnite and you have it on your computer anyway, you really should grab Civ 6 while it's free. You only have a few more days to do it. So it is free until 11 a.m. Eastern on May 28th. So just like they gave away Grand Theft Auto 5 last week, they're giving away Civ 6 this week. And it's honestly like a must-have, especially at the price of free.
I wonder what next week's going to be.
Yeah, there are some leaks out there that called these two. So now it's kind of like, all right, well, since they got both these right, they probably got the rest right too. And so if you want to believe the leaks, the next game will be the Borderlands Handsome Collection. That'll be a pretty good one too.
Yeah, it's good for people that don't have it, but we've already got it like on every
Well, how do you think I feel about Civ 6, all right?
Yeah, and that's true.
My problem,
pick it up on the other platform.
My problem is I have all this the expansions and stuff on the Steam version. So, all right, Phantasy Star Online 2 is going to be launching on the PC this coming week. It launches on May 27th. I am very excited about that. I've played it a little bit on Xbox One. I'm going to play it even more on PC. So that is very, very, very cool. So I'm hoping some live streams with that. I know Delvin over at VG Realness and I were talking about doing some team-ups. And when we played PSO Blue Burst, we had a shit ton of fun. So I'm really hoping that carries over into PSO 2. I'll probably be starting over, to be quite honest, on PSO 2. Just because... I got overwhelmed by everything there is to do in the game, you know? So, yeah. All right. I need to go back. All right. Moving on. The PlayStation 5. Maybe not being revealed in June, they say. We don't know. That's why, you know what? That's kind of why I put this in rapid fire news, because the extent of this is we've had all these rumors. We've had all these talk about dates and so forth. But at the end of the day, we don't freaking know.
Well, and we're going to leave it at that. Wait, you got like Microsoft's not even doing theirs until July, so I wouldn't expect. I mean, I guess PlayStation could jump out ahead, you know, and release the information first, but everyone's in no hurry.
Yeah. Real quick aside, I lost my connection to Twitch altogether. Like, I can't see chat anymore, but I show we're still pushing out data to Twitch, but I lost the chat room. So if you guys are there, maybe I can connect on my phone app and find it that way.
Yeah, we're still good.
God, there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, oh, you can see him fine?
Yep.
That's weird. That's just my computer then. All right. Help me relay any good chat comments then while we do these next few things while I figure out what the hell's going on over here. But yeah, like the dashboard.
Hype Mayhem says, if the Mass Effect games come out in Epic, will you get them there, Rob?
I already have them on PC through Origin, and as much as I love to triple dip, I don't think I can justify literally two separate releases on PC. However, if they gave it away for free, I might. free's free.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I don't think EA would ever do that because they have their own platform that they're trying to push with Origin.
And
so...
they were giving away games on that for a while, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's try. Bye to the kitty. Bye.
Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. So, Loki, if you want to start us off there. And again, sorry, chat. I can't see you guys right now. I'll try to get back in there as soon as I can, but Loki will have to cover for me until I get back. Yeah, my desktop over here, I think, has completely thought the internet has died. That's the problem I'm having right now. That is fantastic. Okay. All right.
Okay, so we've got a few things this week. So first off, Minecraft Dungeons on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We have Utawarumono, Prelude to the Fallen. That's on PlayStation 4 and Vita. Wildfire on PC. Phantasy Star Online 2 on PC. Shantae and the Seven Sirens on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Let's see. Umehara Kawase Bazooka. That's on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. And then Umehara Kawase Fresh on PC. BioShock the Collection on Switch. Borderlands Legendary Collection on Nintendo Switch. XCOM 2 the Collection on Nintendo Switch. And last but not least, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, God, that's right. That's this week, too. That's a huge one. I can't wait to check that out.
Yeah.
Ugh, boy, oh, boy. All right. Well, let's talk about Japan a little bit. And you guys are going to have to excuse me because I'm reduced to having to work off my phone right now because I'm doing the good old turn it off and on again over on this machine. So bear with me for a little bit here. But I think we can cover some of the release dates on the Nintendo Switch over in Japan. So in Japan, I'm seeing on the Switch, it looks like a lot of peripherals and stuff. Oh, we do get into some games. We have Dairoku Ayakashimori in regular and limited edition is coming out, as well as Uta no Prince Sama, Amazing Aria, and Sweet Serenade Love is coming out as well from a company called Broccoli. I did not make that up. That is the name of the company. And then Synaptic Drive also out on the Switch this week. And the Zombie Army Trilogy is coming out as well. Taking a quick look at the PlayStation 4, we have some similar stories there. We have The Legend of Heroes, Aono Kisuke. Umehara Kawase Bazooka is out on the PlayStation 4 as well. And, oh, the Bayonetta and Vanquish collection. I didn't realize that was delayed a little bit in Japan compared to here, but that is coming out in Japan this week, that whole, like, 10th anniversary remaster that they did. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, how about the UK, Loki? Would you mind taking that over for a minute?
Yeah. So the UK, we've got also Minecraft Dungeons on PC and Xbox One. Slime Rancher Deluxe Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We have the expansion for The Elder Scrolls Online, Greymoor, that's coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Ion Fury on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. Lovecraft's Untold Stories on Nintendo Switch. We have the Bioshock Collection on Nintendo Switch. The Borderlands Legendary Collection also on Switch. Hard West Collector's Edition on Nintendo Switch, and last but not least, the Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition on Nintendo Switch.
Great. All right, this is the part of the show where we would do emails, and I think I'm going to get probably just back into it here just in time. Sorry, guys. Do we have any interesting chat comments to get out while I try to get our mail up here? I think turning it off and on again helped, but it's going to take me a minute to get everything launched again.
Phoenix 7726 is The Last of Us 2 launches in 4 days. I don't think is that
no they
days?
Bumped I it think I thought so. They bumped it to June, didn't they? I think it was gonna be May at some point, but I think they bumped it to June, so because that was that whole release date update when all the spoilers happened and all of that crap. So
yeah, it's not coming out for a while now, I think. Trying to take a peek and see. I thought it was at the end of June. I don't remember. I could look it up. But you know what is coming out, though, on the 4th?
What's that?
We've got Clubhouse Games on the Switch.
Is that soon? I'm excited about that. I heard that has, like, Wii Bowling in it.
Does it?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Huh. I know. I think that's awesome, though.
They should put out like a new Wii Sports type thing for the Switch. I mean, I know that's not as easy to do. I mean, you can't really play that portable, but well, maybe you could. Actually, you could play in handheld mode, or not handheld, but like in that non-docked mode where it's just sitting there on this crappy kickstand.
Yeah, that's true. You can. All right. I have internet back on this machine. Yay. All right. Let's move on. Unplugging it and plugging it back in fixes it. Go figure. All right. Moving on. I think my chair got so close it like knocked out the USB for the internet, or knocked it out just enough. Anyway, isn't that ridiculous? All right, let's get to our emails. You guys email us, participate@orangelaunchradio.com, and we read your emails here on the show, as long as they're not like downright mean or offensive. Or we have like a lot, because there have been some emails I haven't read, but it's because we get a lot of emails in a certain week or something. We do have one email this week, and I certainly will read it because it's from our pal YYR. So let's get to it. Ooh, it's a long email, but that's okay. It's one email, so we'll do a long one. Hello, LR. I actually would have preferred to call in at the end of the show about this and was planning to do that, but then I remembered you're not taking calls at the moment. So we'll have to settle for an email. And yeah, for the next little bit, we're not going to be doing the Discord part, and that's nothing to do with you guys. You guys are amazing. But now, especially because I'm having to adjust everything on the fly, we have video and all those other elements that are going on, we're just going to kind of encourage you guys to use chat, Twitter, and some of these other methods. Obviously, we would hope this world situation does end up being temporary, and maybe in a few more months we can talk about not having to do the shelter in place and we can mix a little bit, just a little bit, safely. But right now, we can't do that, so we have to do things a little bit differently. All right, anyway, moving to the rest of the email here. During last week's discussion about DDRV, Loki asked why Konami doesn't just port their current Bomani games to PC. Actually, some of their current games have already received or will soon be receiving home versions. However, most of them are very difficult for North American players to access thus far, despite the fact that current arcade versions of DDR, 2DX, and even Ghidorah now feature full English language support. I'll mention briefly, we need to keep in mind that Japan is still their primary market. I can't speak for what would happen if everyone in America had easy access to arcades containing Bomani games, but at this current time, there are many more Bomani players in Japan than in America. So all of the products I'm about to mention have only been released in Japan thus far. It's possible to play them in other countries if you're willing to jump through some hoops, but it's not a click-click-done kind of thing. Currently, there are PC versions of Beatmania 2DX and Sound Voltex that are playable at home. However, because they play very similarly to the arcade game and Konami doesn't want to compete with themselves, neither one is pay to own. 2DX requires a monthly subscription that costs about $15. Sound Voltex can be played on an unlimited basis for about $20 per month, though some songs will be inaccessible. You also have the option to pay per play, similarly to how the game works in arcades, with almost the same song list as the current arcade version. As a quick aside, isn't that kind of how Neon FM works on mobile? If I remember right, it's been a hot minute since I've played that, but I remember playing it in the arcade would give you credits to play the phone game one, and the phone game one, you either had to buy credits or you could get like one or two a day. I haven't played in quite some time, so I hope I'm not misrepresenting, but that is very interesting about the whole they don't want to compete against themselves, and it does raise an interesting point. But I'm also kind of like, you can't really control something like Neon FM the same way on a mobile phone that you do in the arcade. So for me, nothing replicates the arcade experience. But I realize I'm changing the argument a little bit there. Speaking of mobile, though, let me get back to YYR's email. Also, a mobile version of Beatmania 2DX released last December, called Beatmania 2DX Ultimate Mobile, it actually features the same song list as the current arcade version. You can play using your touchscreen or by plugging in a controller that is very similar to the old official controller for PS2. For free, you can choose from about 100 songs, though like many other free-to-play games, playing songs will drain a stamina meter that takes time to replenish unless you pay to fill it up. You can also subscribe for $4.50 or $9 per month to ditch the stamina meter and gain access to the full song list. The lower tier subscription includes 2 out of 3 difficulties. The higher tier adds the hardest difficulty. Both tiers also give you access to a music player that contains almost every Bomani soundtrack ever released from currently supported games outside of DDR and Sound Voltex. The lower tier only gives you access to 2DX soundtracks, but the higher tier gives you access to all of them. Once again, the game is only available in Japan, but if you're able to access apps from other countries, you're good. Planned for release during 2020 are similar mobile versions of both Sound Voltex and DDR. So, we now have an idea as to what new Konami versions of Bomani games look like. I now ask, are you still jonesing for these, or do these sound like hot garbage to you? Would you be interested in subscribing to one of these if it did make its way to America, or are you turned off by a subscription or pay-to-play model? What say you?
Yes, I'm turned off by a pay-to-play model.
I'm not.
I'd rather just...
I'm not.
I don't know.
Because of Neon FM, the way they're doing it doesn't offend me. And it doesn't sound that dissimilar from what you're talking about here. Now, granted, one key thing that's missing that I think would be really cool if Konami did it was that when you play in the arcade, you get coins to play the phone version. Because it's like you're supporting the arcade version, you're kind of paying there, so you get some plays in the home version. And, you know, we have enough round ones and things like that. I know it's not everywhere, but the current world situation aside, and can you even play it round one anymore? Let's put that on the back burner for now. But I think that's a pretty neat way to do it. Something else to consider, because it didn't come up in the email, Konami has released some of their games on mobile in the U.S., especially on iPad. U-Beat and Reflect Beat come to mind. And now that I'm saying those, you probably knew that and remember that. Granted, those did not do pay-to-play, but I seem to remember U-Beat only had like two songs. Unless you started buying song packs, then you got a lot more with it. So it wasn't really free-to-play. And then Reflect Beat, I think, was a similar thing. But I don't completely hate this. I'm not sure I would subscribe to the super difficult $9 tier, but I might give it a little bit of money now and then, or especially if it linked up with the arcade version, I would love that. So yeah, that maybe that answer surprises you, but I think again, like Neon FM, I don't hate it. And I think it does something very similar. So sure. Why not? Anyway, back to more YYR email. I'll end by saying that I have no plans to port Super Multitasking to Unreal Engine 5. Aw. Sorry if this disappoints you, but the thing I'm using now costs me zero in royalties, even if I make over $1 million. Sorry if
Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to say, you would still, you know, not have to pay royalties anyways with Unreal 5. And, I mean, ray tracing. We need it in all the things. I want all of those pixels super shiny.
I support YYR using whatever paper. I would even say a pay and paper method he wants to use. He can do whatever he wants. Sorry if this email was forever long. Have a great week, everyone. No, I enjoy the long emails. And you're right, we don't have the calls right now, so we're gonna get some longer emails, and that is all good by me. All right. If you want to send an email for a future week, please do so. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send those emails. We do have a few more stories for you guys before we take your questions from chat. So let's get to it. Logi.
So it's like this very short-lived saga that we were talking just literally last week about Doom Eternal getting some controversial anti-cheat update and adding de novo to it. And then just like that, they're taking it out again. So apparently there's going to be an update. It says, despite our best intentions, feedback from players has made it clear that we must reevaluate our approach to anti-cheat integration. And with that, we will be removing anti-cheat technology from the game in our next PC update.
I think this is a good thing, but at the same time, I always shudder a little bit to think that complaining on the internet actually worked in a scenario.
Yeah.
But points were made, you know.
It's just de novo. Maybe if you know, they had like another brand of...
And it super didn't... Yeah, maybe. And it super didn't make sense in a single player environment either. And I think that was the biggest, like, you know, for me, I'm kind of like, well, why is this on there if we don't need the single player environment? But don't forget the Discord comment from last week that I still think is very good. And that is about, you know, everyone got pissed off at this, but how much other bullshit do you have on your computer running in the background that, you know, you're not getting us angry about? And I think that was a damn good point that was raised, to be honest. So something to consider for the internet mob.
Definitely. I mean, there's lots of other games that have shady things to them, or even just not necessarily games themselves, but just like middleware for different things.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll see what they end up. I wonder if they're going to replace it with a different anti-cheat thing, or they're just going to let, you know, if people want to hack, then screw it. We tried. I'm very curious to see what it kind of looks like. Coming
just
up.
Never going to win. They're going to have people that are complaining, like, there's too many hackers in here. And then when they try to fix it, they're like, well, we don't like the anti-cheat.
It is a no-win scenario.
What do you want me to do?
Sometimes what also feels like a no-win scenario is when you buy a game on, say, Steam or Epic Game Store or something, and then it goes on sale the very next day, and it's like, damn it. Even though the same thing can happen in the real world, right? You go and you buy, mm-hmm. like, a shirt or something, and then you see the ad, oh, it's going on sale next week. You know, and some stores in the real world will offer you, like, the difference. Like, you can take your receipt in and get the difference up to a certain amount of time. And now we have word of online retailers offering to do the same thing, and that's Epic Game Store. So Epic Game Store is supposed to be streamlining the process of returning and repurchasing a game. So basically what happens is an automated system that basically you return the game, you rebuy it, so you're kind of getting that difference back. So there's actually some emails and things going out about this, because what happened, a tweet went out where a guy from a studio actually got a partial refund from a game where the price dropped after he bought it. And it said, you recently placed orders from the Epic Game Store. The price of the game you purchased was recently lowered, so we are issuing partial refunds for the difference. That's a pretty big deal. I got to admit, one reason I've been very hesitant to buy Tetris Effect on Epic Games Store, well, number one, I'm not giving them my credit card information, but I heard you can use PayPal or Amazon Pay or something.
You can. And did you happen to claim the free, well, it wasn't Grand Theft, did you claimed something on there?
The $10 coupon, yes. Yeah. Yes, I did get that. And so I'm really thinking of getting Tetris Effect, but one thing that was kind of holding me back was, I was like, well, what if they give that game away next? But then, of course, the leak came out and it's not on the leak list. But, you know, what if it goes on sale? But it's on sale now. So I feel like my hesitation there, oh, I feel a little better about it. I think I probably will, probably before the next time we record, I will have successfully double dipped on Tetris Effect and bought that on PC. So, you know, but I honestly, those of you that have played Tetris Effect can probably relate. Right, it's a great game, so
yeah.
Ooh. Anyway, so that's pretty cool. I hope it doesn't hurt the developers too bad. I hope that, you know, Epic is eating a good chunk of the cost there, but I also kind of think if it does add up to the goodwill and it puts more faith in people purchasing, that probably actually will help developers in the long run, because people won't be doing what I just admitted to doing with Tetris Effect, being hesitant to buy it because you know it's going to go on sale soon. So now you can buy it with a little bit more confidence, and that's pretty cool. So, all right. Bobby Blackwolf is pointing out Tetris Effect could release on Steam on July 23rd. That is true, but when it does release on Steam, it's probably going to be full price for some time, whereas it's on sale on the Epic Game Store right now. And I'm like, do I need it on Steam that bad? I don't know. Like, it's kind of the same thing to me. I don't really care about the trading cards and the badges and all that stuff anymore. It was the credit card thing that was bothering me, but PayPal, I'm okay with that. So, anyway. VidPower573 says, alternatively, buy games on the last day of the sale to make sure the game isn't given out for free before you buy it. Although the leak, I'm willing to believe the leak, and it's not on the leak. It seems a little early to be giving that away anyway. We'll see. All right, a few more stories for you. Loki.
All right, so this is kind of cool. So we've talked about different companies releasing the source code for their games. Now we have EA releasing the source code for Command & Conquer and Red Alert. And this is in the efforts to allow folks to design mods, I guess, a little bit easier. So it's basically releasing the Tiberian Dawn DLL and Red Alert DLL. And their corresponding source code under GPL version 3.0. I'm curious to see what comes out of this. I love the old Red Alert games, but with the EA and stuff, like, I'm worried. Like, I'm assuming, though, with this, the license that they have, they're not going to necessarily own all of the mods that you make. But, like, it almost, to me, like, the gut feeling is that, like, Bethesda, thing that they were doing with their, like, paid mod marketplace, where, like, something's like, okay, make some cool mods, now we own all of that stuff. Maybe I'm thinking Blizzard, you know,
with that was that was the thing with Warcraft 3 Reforged. Yes.
Yeah, so maybe I'm thinking more of a Blizzard on this, but I don't know, it's a good idea, I guess, if you're trying to get some more interest into your older games. Perhaps maybe we'll see a new Red Alert or Command & Conquer game come out, and this is the kind of get people interested in that. I'm down.
are you actually going to do anything with the source code?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I was like,
I don't have time for that.
This is kind of like, you know, we had that story about the Wii source code got leaked last week, and it was kind of like, but what does that really mean? Because there was more this week. I glossed over a story for this week that the same thing happened to the original Xbox and so forth, and it's like, I guess I brought it up anyway, but it's like, really, what good does it do? Now, maybe Command and Conquer, I will say this. Command and Conquer is a different situation because I don't want to get bitched at by those that do have more programming prowess and knowledge and so forth and probably can make better use of this. Because of the fact that EA is giving it out openly, then it's a little different than the stolen one situations. The Command and Conquer one, you know, you're in the legal clear to be in there messing with it and doing your own thing and learning from it and so forth. Whereas when we talk about the Wii, the original Xbox, you're not in the legal clear, right? Like the emulator folks have to stay away from that stuff or their emulators can get shut down and all that, right? But with Command and Conquer, it is a little bit of a different story. So I'll leave it. I will say that. But yeah. Like, for the most part, like, most people that read these stories and talk about these stories and tweet about these stories probably are never going to look at the source code or make any sense of it. But I suppose for the few people that can and maybe will learn something from it, it is pretty cool. And it is great for an archival type of purpose, too. I think that is really cool. It's like, you know, this is a part. Yeah, so it's like with the source code, there will always be a version of Command and Conquer able to play somewhere. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool, like, if we'd see, you know, because not so much with Doom, per se, but, like, there's a lot of these games that when they do release, like, the source code out or release, you know, some remastered version or something for free, that they'll also start developing more content for it. Like, we've been seeing a lot of these WADs coming out from the creators of Doom and stuff, mm-hmm. and that's pretty awesome. Like, that, I would like to see, like, some that more in, mission maps or something like that.
That, in turn, has helped the PlayStation 4 release of Doom, like the Doom Classic, because remember how Bethesda started, like, integrating the WAD support? Like, they're still releasing stuff, which is kind of neat for the classic Doom. And, yeah, so you're right. Maybe it brings some type of general knowledge to Command & Conquer, or it means in a couple weeks somebody's going to get Command & Conquer running on a refrigerator. That's okay, too. Those are always fun to see, too.
So, yeah, like, I remember, like, I used to mess with the Rules INI file all the time, and that was my, you know, fun with that is because you'd be able to customize units and make them way overpowered and stuff. Just messing with that Rules INI file, it could change all the attributes of all the units. That was good enough for me to cheat my way through. I used to play a lot of skirmish maps, so it wouldn't necessarily be playing through the campaign, but it was a lot of fun, though, just, like, setting up a skirmish map and, like, having, like, three or four computer opponents and just, like, dominating, like, a two-hour match, even though, like, it's kind of unfair.
It's funny.
Computer, but
it's funny you talk about editing the INI files, because even I remember doing that back in the day. I want to say it was for Civilization, the original one, but it might have been another game. But I remember editing the INI file to get people to say nasty things, you know, like just use four-letter words and just swear and do these horrible, horrible things because, you know, I was, you know, 14 years old and super mature, and that's what we do. But, yeah, I remember I've done the INI editing. So for completely no artistic value whatsoever.
Yeah, it was always just like, you know, hey, we're going to make Einstein shoot lightning out of his hands, or we're going to make, you know, we're going to make the Tesla coils generate electricity, and you can place them 20 spaces away from other things and basically just keep building across the map until you can place one right in the middle of the enemy's headquarters and it just destroys all of them, or, yeah, all sorts of fun stuff.
All right. Well, last story here has to do with Nintendo rumors. And, you know, everybody's kind of expecting Nintendo to do a Direct in June. And if you are to believe rumors and things of that nature, Nintendo may not be doing it. Nintendo is saying to third-party developers, you don't have to wait for a Direct. You can announce your games like usual. Nintendo may be looking at a system to what they just did with Paper Mario for the interim, where they basically announce it. It's coming out in a few weeks. And this could be something that we're going to be looking at. Again, this is all coming from rumors. If you want to go far enough, what they're saying out there is Pikmin 3 Deluxe, 3D Mario remasters, we've heard that before, and Super Mario 3D World Deluxe. I'm on board for all of that, but again, I'm not exactly going to expect those things. But okay. but you may not get a lot of warning, it sounds like, before this stuff comes out. So, what do you think, Loki? Do they need to announce things way in advance, or do we live in a day and age now, especially with digital distribution, where it's like, okay, it's coming out in 6 weeks. Enjoy.
I just think people are getting kind of hungry for game announcements because it is kind of getting towards that time of year where we would expect to have a lot of those. And I like a lot of the announcements and seeing some of this gameplay and in-depth stuff. So
sure.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that they're not doing.
We don't know. Rumors.
Well, allegedly a direct. Yeah. I would love to see some announcements like that just to hear about more things, like rather than just, you know, a Twitter video announcement or something like that. It would be cool, but like, you know, I get it if they're not going to do that.
You know, I have to be honest. I feel like they could do it the way they did it with Paper Mario, and they would completely get away with it because at the end of the day, the Switch is still selling like hotcakes. Animal Crossing is the world's favorite game right now. I feel like Nintendo's in a great position. They can kind of do what they want, and it doesn't matter. Except one key thing that I think kind of screws this whole thing up, investors. And I feel like they're the ones that are putting on a little bit of the pressure where it's like, okay, Nintendo, Animal Crossing is the shit. It's doing great. What's going to come out next? And we just don't know. And so for that reason, I'm a little bit like, I don't know if Nintendo can really do this long term. It might be kind of like the thing they do during this COVID situation, depending on how long that plays out. But I just don't see Nintendo doing this as long-term strategy because I feel like investors are going to hate it. But at the same time, investors have to be loving the profits that are being made right now. So can Nintendo rewrite the rules in that department? I suppose so. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
One other thing that should be mentioned, Bayonetta 3, it is not canceled. So it was reaffirmed this week. Yes, Bayonetta 3 is still being worked on.
Who thought it was canceled?
I don't know who thought it was canceled, but you know how Twitter is. So you
are we gonna like with that assumption? Are we gonna think that Metroid Prime 4 is canceled too? Because like they announced it super early, but like I didn't think it was coming out this year. I mean, I don't know.
Good point from SSJ100 Matt in chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork who says we were supposed to get an announcement on that ARMS character in Smash Brothers Ultimate. Then again, that was talked about in a pre-COVID world. So you're right. We were supposed to get some other further announcement on an ARMS character, but who knows how everything has been changed because of what's going on in the world.
And the ARMS character is Waluigi.
I wish. I so wish.
They should add him to ARMS for just no reason whatsoever. And then that's what the announcement's going to be is that, you know, he's coming to ARMS and therefore he is coming to Smash Brothers.
I love it. It's time for our listener roundtable. If you have any questions in chat or comments, we would really love to hear them over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. In the meantime, I will turn to Loki and ask if he has any last-minute stories for us tonight.
I do have a couple things. So because Pac-Man's 40th anniversary is happening now, it makes sense that there's going to be a Pac-Man 40th anniversary edition micro player. So My Arcade is doing their little 40th anniversary cabinet that they're putting out for $40.
Interesting. Yeah, I already have one of those My Arcades for Pac-Man. It's over. It's off screen, but it's over in my collection. They're good. They're good little, you know, devices.
$40 seems like kind of a lot of money though for that little thing.
They're $35 for the others usually. My Arcade, those machines are a little bulkier than the Arcade Classics, and those are the ones that go for $20. Maybe it's $30 they usually go for. Anyway, I want to get some quick comments from chat. Sia Tabiri says, sorry for sounding like a broken record, but have you seen any interesting Twitch collaborations recently? I watched a set of 6 drag queens with Twitch channels playing Deceit, a mix of Dead by Daylight and Werewolf last night, and it was super interesting. Seeing them support each other so much, really promoting each other's channel and interacting in the ways they did was such a fun time. I personally didn't see that. I have heard about those types of collaborations. I want to collaborate with my friends and do some cross promotion and fun things. That's when Twitch works great. That's when Twitch works right. I think it is great. And I love like streamers uplifting each other and so forth. And it is interesting how drag is more and more showing up on Twitch, not just because I think, you know, folks are finding it's a great way for expression and so forth on Twitch, but with all the bars and so forth being closed, there's so much of these like virtual performances and things that are being done online right now, because think how hard it is for, you know, you name it, your whatever RuPaul's Drag Race queen, they can't tour bars right now. You know, especially these queens that are on season 12 and All Stars 5, because I know that's all the rage on TV right now. And I'm sorry to dive into RuPaul's Drag Race chat, but it is take your favorite whatever that relies on in-person stuff. Like, it's hurting right now. Like, these season 12 queens should be able to tour the country and make money off their television appearance. They can't. These All Stars 5 queens, same thing. They're going to be in the limelight again, especially queens we haven't seen in a long time, like Angina and Jujubee. But now they can't do that touring, and so that really sucks. But the virtual streams is a way to do it. I would be curious if they're making nearly as much money on a virtual stream as they were doing in tips. But something's better than nothing, I suppose. So, anyway. Yeah. Sorry to deviate a little much there, but I thought that was a good question. Hype Mayhem says, do we need a Bayonetta 3 at this point? Hell yes we do. Of course we do. I love Bayonetta. I really want to see a third game. That'd be awesome. Any other stories, Loki?
Yeah, so I was going to mention also that we also got a video this week of some more stuff for Lego Super Mario. So they showed that they're going to have different power-ups for it as well. So they have the Cat Mario, they have that Hammer Brother Mario, and then the Fire Flower Mario as well. So they're going to sell those add-ons as well August 1st when that comes out. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
The other thing I saw, too, was that the announcement that Final Fantasy XIV Starter Edition went free on PlayStation 4.
I heard about that. What a great time to jump in.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to do that.
That's only for a few more days, right?
Yes, I believe that's, let's see here, it is going to be ending May 26th, so yeah, I got a couple more days.
Yeah, and that is the base Realm Reborn game, so it's none of the expansions, because that's where they're going to get your money, is if they get you hooked and then you get the expansions, and 30 days of time to play for free. So if you've been curious or you want to dip your toe in the water, I mean, now's a great freaking time, but there's a reason for it. They have a plan to get money out of you. But I talk about Final Fantasy XIV a lot on this show. I love it as an MMO. It's worth a look, in my opinion. But I understand the cost can put people off. But here's a way to take a look in the door free for 30 days at least.
Mm-hmm. One game I forgot to mention that's coming out this week in the U.S. is Pong Quest. That was something else that's coming out. Remember that Pong game that was like an adventure type stuff, and they have all the callbacks to different classic Atari games in there. So that's
I totally forgot that was a thing. Now that you're mentioning it, I'm like, yeah, I think there was a story on that a while back. Well, that's cool. See if that is fun.
So yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for another. Oh, really? Sorry. Late breaking news, and this is important. SSGA 100 Matt says, it sounds like Team Ketchup may have won Splatfest. I'm so glad Splatoon did a do-over on that whole thing so that the right team could win in that scenario. Because I believe Mayonnaise won the first time. So I'm very glad Justice prevailed on the redo. All right. Anyhow. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and participating with our show, whether it was live here at twitch.tv/VogNetwork or even if you were listening on the podcast feed. We love you all the same. All we ask here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out over the air, well, we can't put your voices up. So tell a friend or two about the show. Auto hosts on Twitch, even if you don't like to stream yourself, they still go a very long way. It's a great way to like tell your friends. So host VOG Network. Super appreciate that. And a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever you found this show goes an awful long way. So thank you again to everybody. And hope you guys, especially on the Twitch side, I know the podcast didn't see a lot of changes this week, but on the Twitch side, I hope you guys enjoyed the webcams. This week was about getting them added. Next week it will look better. I'll have more time to play with it and set up the different shots now that I know like what the limitations are. So next week will hopefully look a little better on that front, and we can get used to this, for because it's going to be at least I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable even putting a date out there. We'll be back together when we can be back together. But until then, we'll do this. So, all right. That's it. I think it's about time to get final thoughts. Loki, you want to start your final thought tonight?
Yeah, my final thought is I'm glad that we've got tomorrow off for Memorial Day. And also, we have to wish Ranma a happy birthday. His birthday's today.
I forgot it was today. Happy birthday, Ranma. Oh, my gosh. I know so many, like, late May babies. Yeah, happy birthday, Ranma. Shane, from who's on the show all the time. His was yesterday. So happy late birthday, Shane. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, lots of late May. And then my friend Amanda's right around this time, too. My old roommate. Yeah, lots of late May people I know. So, yeah. Happy birthday to all you late May's folks out there. That's it. That's going to do it for us this week. We'll be back. Oh, my final thought quickly. I need to play my TurboGrafx Mini already. Now that I'm done with LARP stuff, I can do it. And I downloaded and played the tutorial, and I'm going to play a little more Mortal Kombat XL. I did do that this week, and I didn't talk about it in my gaming week because I only did the tutorial. But
so we'll get through that. We're going to do some co-op on Minecraft Dungeons later this week?
Hell yeah. I can't wait to play Minecraft Dungeons. Hell yeah. I want to play that for sure.
I hear it's short.
There's so much stuff this week. There's Minecraft Dungeons, PSO2, Xenoblade Chronicles. Like, this is a great week for gaming despite this crappy world situation. So enjoy it, guys. Have a great time gaming this week. So, all right. We'll see you in 7 days to talk all about it. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.